from ThinkerToys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from ThinkerToys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. ThinkerToys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. Some U.S. soldiers have been charged with killing Iraqi detainees.
This was a case in which soldiers from the 101st Airborne Division had picked up three prisoners and were transporting them to a holding place. And while they were being transported, they were killed.
CBS News correspondent David Martin at the Pentagon. The incident happened last month, and the soldiers claimed the detainees had tried to escape. Two American soldiers remain missing in Iraq. They vanished from a checkpoint near Yousafia on Friday. CBS News correspondent Lee Cowan in Baghdad reports every effort is being made to find them.
The military says it has detained more than 30 people for questioning. It's cleared, in their words, more than a dozen villages. And they've received more than 60 tips about the whereabouts of these soldiers, but so far nothing. And, of course, the longer this search goes on, the bigger the area they're going to have to search.
An al-Qaeda-linked group said on a website today that it had kidnapped the two privates but offered no proof. Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco has approved a request from the mayor of New Orleans struggling to deal with crime.
We will respond with personnel from the state police and the National Guard.
Governor Blanco called the weekend murders of five teenagers shocking and senseless. City Councilwoman Stacey Head.
The state police are going to be sort of a supplement to our city, New Orleans Police Department, because we are a little light on the number of officers that we need to have a safe city.
The mayor had asked for 300 National Guardsmen and 60 state police officers. The city's worried a rising crime rate may discourage people from moving back to New Orleans post-Hurricane Katrina. It looked like it may never stop raining this morning in East Texas and Southwest Louisiana.
We dealt with a major natural disaster, Hurricane Rita, in late September. And this event brought in probably more rain than Hurricane Rita did.
So for Louisiana Mayor Ron Lola, in Texas, more than 10 inches fell, and crews used boats to rescue stranded residents and their pets.
Hold on.
The weather system sitting offshore could dump even more rain tomorrow. The Supreme Court has ruled a victim's 911 call may be admitted as evidence in a trial. Here's CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
It's a bedrock principle of our system of justice. The accused has a right to confront his or her accuser. But what about when prosecutors want to play in court an emergency 911 tape in which an alleged victim identifies the defendant as the perpetrator? The Supreme Court says that tape can be used as evidence and that the accuser doesn't have to personally be in court or face cross-examination.
The Supreme Court today also refused to block part of the new Medicaid prescription plan that some states worried they'd have to foot the bill for. On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrials finished off 72 points at 10,942, and the NASDAQ Composite Index was lower as well by 19 points. This is CBS News.
Somewhere between what a person is saying and what they're not saying, between what a person wants and what they need, lies understanding. For every client, everywhere, UBS has the distinct ability to listen, but more importantly, the commitment to understand. UBS, leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking, and committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
A sheriff in Jefferson County, Colorado, says he's willing to release documents seized from the homes of the two teenaged Columbine gunmen. CBS News correspondent Lee Frank reports.
The sheriff says he plans to make public 936 pages of documents, but not before the parents of Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold get another chance to again oppose the release. Seized items include diaries, school yearbooks with comments, medical records, and writings from one boy's father about previous crimes they committed. The sheriff does not want to release the controversial basement videos where Harris and Klebold show off their weapons and boast about their plans to attack Columbine. Lee Frank, CBS News, Denver.
South Dakota voters will decide whether to uphold a new state law that bans almost all abortions. Enough signatures put it on a November 7th ballot. That new law bans abortions unless they're necessary to save a woman's life. Northwest Airlines says it's doing away with row-by-row boarding in favor of allowing passengers to get on when they're ready. Test runs have found that knocks about 5 to 10 minutes off boarding times. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Why do I like working at Verizon? It's the excitement my customers get each time I bring high-speed fiber-optic broadband into their homes. I feel like I've just brought them into the future. And I feel like my future is brighter, thanks to Verizon. Whenever I need it, I can take advantage of some of the best training in the industry. I'm able to keep up with the latest in the field. As our technology advances, so do I. I'm John Hare, biosplicing technician. Our people, our network. Verizon, we never stop working for you.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I know. Who's he? I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Now, why would Headline News give me a show? Maybe because politically correct really isn't in my vocabulary. It's time somebody says what we're all thinking, from politics to pop culture. Every night, Headline News sets me loose, not to save the world, just to look for some common sense. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace.
Oh, excuse me. That's the aroma of a Glenn Beck commercial. It'll clear, don't
worry. Peter B. Collins!
Don't worry. Ah, it's Monday. Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B. And I got a whole lot to be humble about. On our program today, we present views and voices you don't often hear in the mainstream media. Norman Solomon will join us in just a moment, talking about Hillary Rodham Clinton's triangulation. Also on our program today, about a half hour from now, Matthew Rothschild, the editor of The Progressive, will join us to talk about the Supreme Court's hard tilt to the right on search and seizure issues.
Technological breakdown.
Yes, another 5-4 decision with Justice Alito making the difference. And the police don't have to knock. Also on our program today, Dar Jamail, who writes with passion and credibility about Iraq. He'll be joining us on the program. And he warns us that Ramadi may be the next Fallujah. We'll have the details about an hour away. Then we're going to talk about the civic structure in the United States of America and the problems with things like our voting system. Stephen Hill is the man who led the charge to bring instant runoff voting to San Francisco, and it's proven very effective. We no longer see runoff votes or runoff elections, and not only saves money, but I think it empowers voters and reduces the influence of the two parties that dominate our system today. Stephen Hill will be with us coming up next hour. And then, as usual, in our third hour, it's wide open for your phone calls in the free speech zone. But you don't have to wait till then. If something, just has to be said, I want you to say it. That's why we provide our phone lines here. Central Coast, 831-899-5792, or call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. Info on me, the show, archive programs, all that stuff at peterbcollins.com. And you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Norman Solomon is a media critic, a frequent columnist, and the author of his most recent book, War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death. Hello, Norman.
Hi, Peter.
How you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
I was struck by your piece that was posted last Thursday at Truth Out and other websites, and I love the headline, A Big Problem for Hillary Clinton, Premature Triangulation. Back in seminary school, there was something about premature, but I don't think it was triangulation.
Well, you know, I think that it's the first time that phrase has been used in a political sense, but I'm sure it's not going to be the last, because Hillary Clinton is really running up against this premature triangulation in the sense that she wants to polarize with the anti-war movement in this country, but she wants to do it on her own timetable, and it's too soon for that timetable. She first needs to get through some primary states, including this one, where anti-war opinion is very strong. And traditionally, and her husband did this very well, once you get the nomination, you start to tack rightward in the Democratic Party, and that is a big problem that she has right now. She hasn't got her timing down.
Well, there isn't a lot of room to her right, at least I hope not. But you described the speech that she gave at the event I attended last week in Washington, the Take Back America conference, as a kind of a sister soldier moment. Explain.
Well, I think it was a tentative one, but not full-blown, because in 1992, just weeks before the Democratic National Convention, which is to say in June of 92, Bill Clinton was speaking to a Rainbow Coalition conference, and he went out of his way to criticize somebody who was then a little-known African-American rap singer, Sister Souljah. And that was something that earned Bill Clinton a lot of plaudits from those really tiresome, perseverating pundits like Joe Klein, for instance, who are forever, whatever the decade, saying that Democrats have got to move rightward.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was interesting to be in the room when Hillary gave her speech last week, and I'll comment on that in a moment, but the foreplay, if you will, the little skirmishes to avoid an interaction with Code Pink, sent to me very powerful signals about just how progressive, or frankly unprogressive, the organizers of this event were. Because they made a trade-off in order to get Hillary to speak. They apparently agreed to some ground rules, and then they misled the members of Code Pink about what those ground rules were and whether they'd actually be able to express themselves. And it was so childish, Norman, to see them. There were four women from Code Pink, and the biggest threat they posed to Hillary Rodham Clinton is she might see their banner.
Well, I think the political threat, as far as Hillary Clinton was concerned, is that she would gain too sharp an edge of an anti-war enmity. She would be too soon labeled across the country as a pro-war Democrat. And I think, ironically, that happened to some extent anyway in the coverage, because the fact she was booed over the war got a lot of sometimes headlines even.
Yes,
but
I
think that she would much rather thread this needle gradually. There's a lot of, as you know, and I was back here in California, but from being in the room in the speech, you know that it was a lot of, on the one hand, on the other hand, this is a difficult conversation. I think it would be a bad strategy to just set a timeline, which, you know, I'm old enough at 55 to remember that kind of talk from the Hubert Humphreys of the late 1960s. And, of course, in that direction leads more bloodshed and more disaster.
Well, and I'm just pulling up the New York Times from yesterday, because Frank Rich wove it into his piece, and he was terrific. Like Mr. Bush, she presented a false choice, either stay the course or cut and run. Yet, unlike Mr. Bush, she didn't even alight on one of them. This perilous juncture demands that leaders of both parties, whether running for president or not, articulate the least disastrous Iraq exit option that Americans and Iraqis can rally around. Time is running out. And a timeline does not require, as Mrs. Clinton disingenuously implies, an arbitrary date certain for withdrawal. And just to pile on, we've talked many times, Norman, about just how disappointing Senator Feinstein of California can be. But she's getting the message, and she and Chris Dodd sponsored a resolution today calling for just that, a withdrawal plan from the U.S. government.
Well, I think it's crucial. You know, it can come now or it can come later. And already many months ago on these airwaves, you and I were talking about that same problem. 2 or 3 years from now, we could be having the same discussion. And sooner or later, when a war is based on deception and is totally untenable on any grounds other than just bullheaded imperial arrogance, you got to fold them.
Well, indeed. And I don't know if you followed the proceedings of the day, but Senator Clinton, who did speak pretty well and connected with the audience on domestic issues, clearly lost it when it came to the war. She was followed by Nancy Pelosi, the minority leader of the House, who gave a very clear, unmuddled position about Iraq. A grotesque mistake is what she called it. And then John Kerry surprised me and perhaps others in attendance because he delivered the speech that he should have given at the Grand Canyon in October of 2004 when he was asked if he would have changed his vote about the war. He was more explicit and clear than I have ever seen him. And he said that, you know, his vote was a mistake, that he was misled on the intelligence, and he did follow through on a commitment he made during that speech last week to sponsor a resolution in the Senate that only garnered 6 votes to set a timetable to withdraw from Iraq. So the contrast between Clinton and Kerry could not have been stronger in that respect. And many articles that cover the two speeches have noted that there was a male voice that responded to John Kerry when he said he made a mistake, and the voice yelled out, "Tell Hillary." And I was that guy.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I think it's a very good suggestion, and she probably has her ears stopped up in terms of hearing that because she's so piped in with her advisors who she believes will get her the presidency come January 2009. She wants to be up there raising her hand, having a hand on the Bible. But it's all so opportunistic, and we've had quite enough of that, I think.
Norman, I'd like to read a power quote from the article you wrote. Clinton's foreseeable game plan is to eventually confront anti-war activists head-on as she portrays herself as a strong on defense, newer than new Democrat. 2 years from now, if she has the nomination cinched, she'll be eager to ratchet up her strategy of playing to the gallery of corporate media journalists by presenting herself as a centrist alternative to both the Republican Party's right wing and the Democratic Party's special interests, a.k.a. the party's base. That's a very powerful statement, and I love your phrase, newer than new Democrat.
Well, unfortunately, I think she's repackaging what she believes was the formula that got her husband elected president, and that is to just get enormous mileage from the punditocracy in the Washington press corps with the idea that I'm not like those old liberal bad Democrats. I understand that you need to make your peace with the Pentagon and with the corporate power, and so I'm going to be a good Democrat that combines a certain degree of social liberalism with some conservative economic and military policies.
Well, and of course, her cozying up to Sir Rupert Keith Murdoch and accepting a fundraiser from him this summer kind of speaks in that direction. Norman, we got to take a break, and we'll return in a moment. If you have a question or comment for Norman Solomon, he's with us for another segment. You can get on the line now, Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Or call me toll-free anywhere in the continental U.S. at 888-579-2540. That's 1-888-579-2540. 17 minutes past the hour, you've got the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
It is useless to resist us.
I guess that makes me irresistible. 21 minutes past the hour, the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Matthew Rothschild, editor of The Progressive, will join us in a few minutes. We're talking with Norman Solomon. His most recent book called War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Are Spinning Us to Death. And, Norman, anything you want to add about Hillary Clinton? I wanted to ask you about a couple of other things in this segment.
Or her gender, but it's really straight line politics that go way back. She's the equivalent of a Cold War liberal who got us into so much disaster in Vietnam and elsewhere.
Yeah, it's interesting because the person who spoke at that event last week who really captured the audience's attention and zeitgeist, I think, is Barack Obama. And I was commenting on another program this morning that in my view, he simply reflects a fresh face and somebody who we can kind of project some of our aspirations onto, because he's a fairly blank slate as a freshman senator. And to me, the positive aspect of the interest in Obama is that people will move on from Clinton, Gore, and Kerry. And Gore and Kerry, in my view, each have the right to seek the nomination again. Because, in fact, they won their respective elections, and I'd love to see them vindicated. But on balance, I'd like to move forward with fresh faces and new blood in the Democratic leadership.
Yeah, and from our standpoint, you know, with all the really excellent stuff that Al Gore has done in the last few years, still, you look at his 8 years as vice president, and he was part of so-called welfare reform, part of the bombing of Yugoslavia based on foreclosing diplomatic alternatives. The environmental record of the administration, while not nearly as bad as this one, still under Clinton Gore was, you know, pretty horrendous in many respects. Need I say Tyson and chicken and things like that?
Yep.
And so the guy has a pretty tarnished record, and we need people who have not at least yet shown that they're so willing to throw in the towel when corporate clubs are shaken in their direction.
Well, and I saw Al Gore's movie over the weekend. I really appreciate what he did. I think it's a great service to the nation. I think it does, in some ways, revise my perception of him. But I still would have to be persuaded if he decided to run for the presidency again.
Yeah, there's not a lot on the horizon that somebody looks both electable and inspiring from my standpoint, because people who we might want with clear progressive principles is already almost entirely counted out by the mass media.
You mean like Russ Feingold?
I think he's a great example.
Yeah, yeah. Norman, I want to turn to Iran because of your expertise. You were there last year, and you have followed their domestic politics for some time. The Jerusalem Post reported over the weekend that officials in George W. Bush's administration turned down a 2003 Iranian offer to begin talks with the U.S. To recognize Israel and to end support of Palestinian terror organizations. This was also the story was also picked up by the Washington Post on Sunday. Are you surprised by this?
No, because I think that all the pretenses of being interested in diplomacy aside, the Bush administration has shown just a real eagerness, first, of course, to attack Iraq, but also to have a confrontation with Iran. We also had, over the weekend, the Financial Times reporting that now Iran is offering to limit its nuclear program, not quite going as far as Condoleezza Rice and Bush have demanded to totally suspend enrichment, but to go a long distance in that direction. And I think we need to talk about that, raise that with our members of Congress, and insist that we not just accept the White House putting the kibosh on this opportunity to avoid military action, which I think is a real opportunity, and I don't think the Bush administration wants to take it.
And I think we would agree that this is an administration that has no shame. Is there a way that we can use information like this to shame them into staying with diplomacy and rejecting military action, including the nuclear option, which they refuse to withdraw?
Well, grassroots progressives and journalists are going to have to do a much better job of confronting the administration with a story like this one, not only about its foreclosing of the 2003 option, but the opportunity now to essentially make peace with Iran through mutual compromise. If we allow this to be a one-day or one-weekend story, then the Karl Rove machinery will just head on towards war.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any ideas of how we can... I'm just trying to come up with the right angle to pursue, because, of course, we learned in the whole Iraqi episode that anybody who raised a voice against the use of military force, particularly as it was done so quickly, was tagged as a sympathizer, unpatriotic, self-hating American, those kinds of things. So how can we navigate the through the swamp here and not get bitten by the Karl Rove alligators, and still articulate a position that forces this administration to review its options and not move precipitously toward military?
Well, it is a swamp, and I think to somewhat at least drain that swamp, it's going to be necessary to emphasize in public and to rally public support behind the idea that we do not want this attack to happen, that there are all alternatives, and that the repercussions in the Middle East, including in southern Iraq, and for our own society at home, would be horrendous if the Bush administration is not restrained, so that we connect the dots between their duplicitous policies leading into the invasion of Iraq and the situation that we now face in terms of Iran.
Do you have any plans to return to Iran in the foreseeable future, Norman?
I hope to get over there, and I also am hoping to get over to Iraq, but it just... has to do with logistics and visas. We'll just see what happens.
Yeah. Well, keep us posted, because if you do make another trip, I would love to follow that closely.
Oh, I'd be glad to be back on to talk about it.
Okay. Norman, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Peter.
You can read the post. We talked about a big problem for Hillary Clinton, premature triangulation. It's on the homepage today at truthout.org. Coming up next, Matthew Rothschild will join us. Last week, a 5-4 decision, the U.S. Supreme Court tilted further to the right, denying citizens privacy when police officers come to call. We'll talk about that with Matthew coming up next. Dar Jamail will join us in the next hour. All ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Hear ye, hear ye. The court's in session. The court's in session. Now, here come the judge. Here come the judge.
Here come the judge.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Stop beating that bird. Cause here come the judge. Don't nobody bird. Cause here come the judge.
Last week, while we were distracted by the secret trip to Baghdad by W., and a bunch of other issues in the news, the Supreme Court handed down a 5-4 decision which turns the Miranda ruling on its ear. Yes, guess, in a case that originated in Detroit, where police officers served a warrant but did not knock before they entered. Justice Antonin Scalia said, oh, that's all right with me.
Hold up. What's the first case on the docket?
And to give us a little perspective, we turn to Matthew Rothschild, editor of The Progressive, and he posted an item last Friday called The Worst Ruling of the Week. Well, maybe that's a little premature, Matthew.
No, it was last week anyway. Even that one, I thought there was another one that was as bad or worse than that, so we can maybe get to that one too. I mean, it's hard to say what's worse with these guys because every time you turn around, there's another bad one.
Yeah, but it really is telling, though, because this is a case that Sandra Day O'Connor had heard, and if she had not been replaced by Sam Alito, would presumably have voted with the minority and actually produced a different decision.
Yeah, it seems quite likely that she would have, because she was very suspicious of the arguments that the government was making in this case, basically overturning a key tenet of the Fourth Amendment, which was that, you know, the police just can't come knocking down your door, that we have a Fourth Amendment right to be secure in our homes against unreasonable searches and seizures. And part of being secured in your homes is, even if a police officer has a warrant, that the police officer can't knock your door down while you're asleep in the middle of the night without announcing themselves. But now I guess that's all right.
And why is it that so many Americans accept that passively? I think this is a pronounced signal that the rights of individuals now take second place to the rights of police. And in my book, Matthew Rothschild, that is a creeping police state.
I'm worried about a creeping police state myself, Peter. I don't think Americans, at least all Americans, or even a huge majority of Americans, are going to be taking this passively. I think our rights to privacy under the Fourth Amendment, our right to being secure in our homes and in our papers and in our effects, I think a majority of Americans really revere that amendment, maybe more than any of the other amendments, in fact, maybe even more than the First Amendment.
Yeah.
Because no one except the person who is most statist oriented wants the police to become barging into their homes. And now we have this no-knock rule that allows the police to do it when they have a warrant, and we have the Patriot Act that allows them to do it when they don't have a warrant, and when you're not even home. So, what good is the Fourth Amendment at this stage? You got to ask yourself.
Yeah, you really do. And I want to make a mild correction of myself, because I was grooving to the music there, and I did misstate a moment ago. This no-knock rule is not directly related to the Miranda decision. Miranda was that you have the right to remain silent and not make any incriminating remarks. So I just want to clarify that. And since I never went to law school, I don't have a law professor to apologize to.
Excuse me.
But unlike some members of the Supreme Court, I like to admit when I am when I've misstated something or made a mistake. And wasn't it amazing the way Justice Scalia wrote the majority decision, Matthew, and basically said, you know, this guy was going to get convicted anyway because he was black and he had drugs and guns in his house.
And that, and Scalia was saying, you know, who really cares if the police come in, you know, if you don't have your clothes on, big deal. You know, that's what he was saying. He reduced it to whether you had your garments on or not while you were in bed. And there's almost no evidence that the police can obtain by any means that Scalia would want to exclude from trial. I mean, you know, if they torture people down in Guantanamo, I think he's for it. You know, if they do it at Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan, no problem. At Abu Ghraib, big deal. You know, for Scalia, it's just, you know, lock him up.
Well, and I think that we're going to have to continue to look to the minority opinions from the Supreme Court to find the real constitutional analysis. What did the minority say here, Matthew?
Well, amazingly, the minority said, look, this is central to the Fourth Amendment. Not only that, it's central to Anglo-Saxon jurisprudence dating back to the 13th century. I mean, this is how far back these guys are turning back the clock. I mean, I thought for a while they not only wanted to overturn, you know, the Clinton era and the Great Society and the New Deal, but also the Bill of Rights, and now they're going all the way back to the Magna Carta. I mean, there's nothing that won't stop these people from turning the clock back.
Well, but these precedents from the Middle Ages, Matthew, give me a break. They didn't even have shows like Cops or America's Most Wanted at those times. I mean, come on.
those shows may have helped create the climate that is going to allow a Supreme Court to make these kinds of decisions. I mean, I do think your original point about why are people accepting this decision, and for that matter, a whole mess of other stuff that the Bush administration and this right-wing Supreme Court have been delivering, is really a relevant one. I do think there's a great deal of unhappiness, but when does unhappiness turn into action is what I want to know.
Yeah, well, I think there are too many Americans who have looked at the NSA eavesdropping and heard Bush's half-assed explanation and said, well, I'm not worried because nobody from Al-Qaeda is ever going to call my house.
That, or, you know, I've done nothing wrong. I'm clean as a whistle. Come look at me. Come, you know, check out my phone. You know?
Right, look at my phone records. I called a porn line, but that's not going to get the NSA after me.
I mean, what people don't understand is the government, throughout the last 50 years, has been spying on us, sometimes with greater invasions, like during the McCarthy period or COINTELPRO in the 60s and 70s, where they were going after people who were totally, perfectly innocent and smearing them and ruining their lives. You don't have to be guilty to have your life ruined. That was the lesson of the McCarthy period. That was the lesson of counterintelligence program in the 60s and 70s. People are naive when they think the government's only going after the people who are guilty.
And coming back to my jocular reference to cops and America's Most Wanted, people have become conditioned to watching those shows, and they don't really make a huge distinction now between the reenactments using professional actors and the actual, you know, raw footage that was shot when camera crews went on patrol with cops. But when you watch that, you get a sense that there never was a Fourth Amendment or any requirement to knock before you bust into an apartment with cameras rolling.
And the police who are doing that, who are invading people's houses without a warrant or without knocking, police who are brutalizing their detainees, are glorified on these shows.
Oh, indeed. And nobody, you know, there's never even like a replay with an attorney who says, well, frankly, they violated the law six different times in this this encounter.
Or those attorneys are made out to be weenies. I mean, you know, they're just, you know, all this, you know, effete lawyer who's just looking at technicalities, wants to get this monster back out on the street so he can rape or murder someone. I mean, that's how it's always portrayed.
Well, and wrapped in fear in the comforts of their living rooms, many Americans will sit back and just say, well, that's okay with me. I don't want some technicality to stop the cops from busting these people who are clearly, you know, a threat to me right here in front of my big screen TV.
Right, but it goes back to that assumption that the cops or the government or the FBI or the CIA or the NSA are always getting bad guys, and they never get a good guy. They never make a mistake. And our whole constitutional system, our whole system of justice is based on the presumption of innocence and based on, you know, you let 19 guilty people go free before you're going to convict an innocent person. Boy, if you had that ratio right now and put it on the ballot, I don't think it would be 19 to one. I think would be, who knows, 1 to 1, maybe less.
We're talking with Matthew Rothschild from the Progressive magazine. You can read his work at progressive.org. If you go to .com, you got to buy insurance, so go to progressive.org and get the full story. We got Ben on the line from Salinas. Good afternoon, Ben. Join us on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yes, gentlemen, I'll address you both as my fellow American fathers and men. What is the biggest fear of any family man in America, Christian or otherwise? Is some these people that do these mob invasions of homes in the cities, maybe you're asleep in there with your beautiful granddaughters in the next room as I do, and with your wife, maybe you're even making love, and you want some thugs kicking in your door. Does it make a difference if it's the Homeland Gestapo? And if these are not Gestapo tactics, I want some Republican to call up and tell us what these tactics are. Thank you, Sam Alito. Now we see where we're headed. And then Karl Rove, he's okay with deserting and deserting, but we're not going to cut and run. What is this crap going on?
Hey, John Murtha really gave him a little lip payback on one of the talk shows on Sunday. Did you hear that, Ben?
I heard Murtha come up in several conversations, and, well, we got to respect this guy because, you know, how many people do we got like Murtha? Him and Feingold. And that's where the courage of America resides. When are we going to get off this train and fight for our damn country? I'm getting worried. Do we not have the guts to fight for our country?
Press Sunday, when Murtha was asked for his reaction to Rove's remarks, he said, he's making a political speech. He's sitting in his air-conditioned office on his big, fat backside saying, stay the course. That's not a plan.
Well,
you go, Mirtha.
Mirtha was too nice.
Well, he's a gentleman.
He should have used his descriptive language like I would have, but then I get thrown off the air, and I don't want to get my friends fined.
Yeah, it's up to $365,000 or something
now.
That'll repress a little speech, won't it?
Yeah, well, the land of the free and the home of the brave, but I've said enough. But anyway, that's just my point of view on the news going on.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, sir.
Matthew, any reaction to Ben's...
I think Ben makes a couple great points. I mean, the idea that the police can barge in without knocking is a police state mentality, a police state policy. And then his view of Mirtha and the Democrats, yes, finally we had John Mirtha standing up and putting Karl Rove in his little place, which was delightful. But there are not enough Democrats doing that. There are not enough Democrats standing up to these invasions against our civil liberties. Ben mentioned Russ Feingold. He was the only senator to vote against the original Patriot Act when it was 98-1. He's been leading this effort against the NSA spying that's going on, and he wants to censure the president, if not impeach him, which I think should happen. Where is the majority of the Democratic elected officials, the leaders of the party? I don't see Hillary Clinton, who's everyone claiming to be the putative nominee in 2008, doing much of courage right now.
You're right. We spent the preceding segment talking about her speech to the Take Back America conference last week, which was interesting as she attempted to triangulate a pretty sharp audience. Matthew, we're going to take a break and return. I want to talk about the other ruling last week that should have gotten much more attention. Basically, it said Ashcroft was doing the right thing when he detained thousands of people after 9/11, never charged them. And we'll talk about that situation. The case is Turkmen versus Ashcroft. That's coming up next. If you have a comment, join us at 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
We all have dreams. And dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented him from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We originate on the left coast and we're oozing eastward. Now on in Sacramento, California, Phoenix, Arizona, in addition to Monterey and Eureka. I'm glad you're listening.
I would walk 10 miles on my hands and knees. Ain't no doubt about it, baby, it's you I am the bees. I wish I was alive.
We're talking about your constitutional rights, and they are eroding quickly under this newly packed Supreme Court, the Roberts Supreme Court, with Justice Sam Alito chiming in with the two far-right nuts, Scalia and Justice Thomas. And it's really frightening to imagine how they will rule on important cases that are in the pipeline now. Matthew Rothschild with us from the Progressive Magazine. And, Matthew, this case last week of Turkmen versus Ashcroft, it surprised me the convoluted ruling that was issued by John Gleason. He's at the U.S. District Court for Eastern New York. And he essentially said that while we would never permit this kind of treatment of our own citizens, that to use racial profiling and other techniques to, detain these people in a way that I find clearly unconstitutional, well, the judge found it okay when applied to foreigners.
Yeah, I mean, this judge flattened aspects of, crucial aspects of the Fifth Amendment and the 14th Amendment. We need to recognize that the Fifth Amendment and the 14th Amendment of the Constitution apply not just to citizens, but to everybody. The words are quite clear. It's not the Fifth Amendment says not that no citizen shall be deprived of due process, but that no person shall be deprived of due process. And so does the 14th Amendment, which also adds that no person shall be denied the equal protection of the laws. And then comes this judge and the Bush administration that says, forget what those words, those clear English words say in the Bill of Rights about who is covered and who isn't. We're only going to apply them to U.S. citizens. And the judge here essentially said that it was okay to hold people indefinitely. You can hold them so long as that detention is can go on, as long as you can say it's reasonably foreseeable that you'll let them go at some point. I mean, that's a huge relief to anyone who's being detained. And the logic of that argument is that the Japanese internment camps were constitutional.
Wow. Quote from the judge's ruling, the executive is free to single out nationals of a particular country and focus enforcement efforts on them. This is, of course, an extraordinarily rough and overbroad sort of distinction of which, if applied to citizens, our courts would be highly suspicious.
I mean, there you have it. I mean, he recognizes that he is creating two categories of people that aren't recognized by the Fifth and the 14th Amendment, that distinction. That distinction isn't there. Both categories are supposed to be treated the same under those two amendments, and he's completely driven a wedge between people who are citizens and non-citizens. I'm not saying that everyone who is a non-citizen has the same citizenship rights as people who are citizens. I'm not saying non-citizens get to vote here. But on basic elemental human rights like due process and equal protection, our Constitution itself says that citizens and non-citizens alike have those protections, and then this judge says, forget about it.
And what you cited a moment ago, Matthew, in the judge's view, the government has the right to detain people indefinitely as long as their eventual removal is reasonably foreseeable. That is so vague and open-ended, and as a standard, flies in the face of due process, right to face your accusers, right to a speedy trial. I mean, we really are setting up a second-class status for these individuals, And to my knowledge, now it was a 99-page ruling, and I've just seen newspaper articles about this, but the judge didn't address the fact that none of these people was found to be a threat to our country in any significant way. No one was charged with a terrorism-related offense. The only people who ended up being deported were people who'd run afoul of immigration law.
Yeah, and some of them were supposed to be deported, and the government wouldn't let them go. Even when an immigration judge says this person isn't a threat to the United States, he had a minor technicality violation in overstaying his visa, he should go. And Ashcroft said, no, I want to keep him. And so they just kept him for months and months and months. And now the judge says even that was okay.
Well, and in the past I would have said, well, you know, this is going to be fixed on appeal. But it will be appealed probably to a D.C. circuit court that has been packed with people like Janice Rogers Brown from California, and then it will ultimately go to the newly packed Supreme Court. And it's hard to imagine that particularly those who owe a Bush their position on the court would rule in opposition to Judge Gleason's lower court ruling.
Yeah, I have no expectation that this decision is going to be overturned. We've got to wake up. We're a lot less free today than we were in 2000. We're less free because the police can just come barging in without knocking. They can barge in when they don't have a warrant and we're not home. And if you're not a U.S. citizen, wow, you're a lot less free.
Well, and we come back to this uncomfortable situation, Matthew, where average Americans don't seem to give a blast about this.
Yeah, and I'm scratching my head wondering, you know, what's it going to take? You know, maybe they need to see, their next-door neighbor or their sister or someone have their rights just terribly violated before they're going to say, wow, these guys are out of control. Because the whole edifice of repression has been constructed now, right before our eyes, one pillar after another. And if we don't think, you know, the police are going to go inhabit that house and start using it as a headquarters to go after our rights, then we're just fooling ourselves.
Well, we need to find a way to get Ann Coulter and Michelle Malkin locked up in the same, you know, like Metropolitan Detention Center in New York for an indefinite stay. And then when, Ann's Botox wears off, she might actually start complaining.
Boy, I would think that she's just about had her 15 minutes of fame here after she goes after the widows of 9/11, but who knows?
Yeah. Michelle Malkin last week, in what appears to be a rehearsed comment, talked about the three detainees at Guantanamo who had committed suicide.
Hmm.
And her considered remark was, boo freaking who.
Wow. That's
isn't that
intelligent.
Nice? That's a compassionate conservative.
That's really intelligent.
Yeah. But,
well, it's like the Pentagon, though. The Pentagon was saying it was a good PR move.
Yeah.
Of the people who killed themselves, a good PR move. And an Army general was saying, you know, this is strategy. This is their strategy to hang themselves.
Yeah, asymmetrical warfare. That's it's just bizarre the way these things are being spun. And it really does seem that we're becoming more and more detached from reality, whatever that was.
Well, we're so detached. I think that's just the right word, Peter. We're detached from this war. 2,500 of our fellow citizens have been killed over there. More than 18,000 have been wounded, and we can go by, unless we're in a community where that's happening to dozens of people, or unless it's hitting our family or someone in our extended family, we can go for days and not see that. And it, same thing with our rights being rolled over. We can go, you know, without hearing about it. And this is in part a problem of the mainstream media. I mean, because if they're not putting it before us, people aren't going to see it. And they need to repeat it. But the only thing that's being repeated is on Fox News what a brave man George W. Bush is to fly into Baghdad for 5 hours.
Well, coming up in our next segment, Dar Jamail is going to join us, a journalist who has covered Iraq and been there. And one of the things we're going to talk about is this Washington Post article over the weekend. They got a cable that apparently was signed by Ambassador Khalilzad in Baghdad, and it was sent just about the time that Bush decided to make his surprise trip. And it basically said, glub, 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 we're going down. And Bush, of course, went to Baghdad and came back. He looked into the eyes of al-Maliki and pronounced him, you know, a great leader of democracy in the future. And it just is bizarre how different the spin from Washington is from what we presume to be relatively, you know, accurate reporting from the scene.
Yeah, and I'm hopeful because I don't think that visit changed anyone's minds really here in the United States. It didn't give Bush much of a bump. People aren't that susceptible to this propaganda after all this time, I hope. And now with that report coming out of the Washington Post, which is just like the Pentagon Papers document was during the Vietnam War, I don't think Bush can get away with this propaganda offensive any longer. He's
got to stop you there, Matthew. We're out of time.
Why.
Thank you very much, Matthew Rothschild. Visit theprogressive.org and read more. We'll talk again soon, Matthew. Thanks.
Thank you.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Two missing soldiers in Iraq.
We will never stop looking for our service members until their status is definitively determined.
If North Korea launches that missile,
it will be taken with utmost seriousness.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It's been 3 days since the ambush in Yusufia, and still no sign of two soldiers abducted by masked gunmen. A massive search continues. This is Army Major General William Caldwell.
Over 8,000 U.S. military and Iraqi army and police are working together, conducting an intensive SERPA operation to determine the status of these soldiers.
CBS News correspondent Lee Cowan in Baghdad.
The military says it has detained more than 30 people for questioning. It's cleared, in their words, more than a dozen villages. And they've received more than 60 tips about the whereabouts of these soldiers, but so far nothing. And, of course, the longer this search goes on, the bigger the area they're going to have to search.
An insurgent group linked to al-Qaeda claims responsibility for the abduction, but offers no evidence. From the Pentagon, CBS News correspondent David Martin reports three soldiers accused of shooting three detainees north of Baghdad last month are now charged with premeditated murder.
The original story from the soldiers was that the prisoners had been attempting to escape. Apparently, other soldiers witnessed the incident and said that that was not what happened. A criminal investigation was begun, and the results are now being announced.
The defendants from the 101st Airborne Division allegedly threatened to kill a fellow soldier if he told the truth about what happened. Now this.
The following is a message from Pfizer. Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject guys hate to talk about, erectile dysfunction. Well, if guys won't even talk about it, how can we doctors treat them? First caller.
Yes, just for the record, I've never personally experienced ED.
Okay.
But were I ever someday to have this issue, I have a prearranged code with my doctor.
You're going to mention some kind of code phrase.
Exactly. One I'm not at liberty to divulge at this point in time.
And you think your doc will remember it?
Well...
Wouldn't it be easier to just take a deep breath and blurt out?
As in, hey doc, I think I might have ED.
Well, yeah.
That wasn't so bad. Thanks.
And we're on the air. If you think you might have ED, your doctor's the one who can help. So blurt, stammer, hammer, haw, your doc will get the drift. It could make a difference in your sex life. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, visit JustAskToday.com.
Tensions with North Korea escalated today when a U.S. official said a new long-range missile capable of reaching the western United States was fueled up and ready for a test launch. That won't fly with Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
It would be a very serious matter and indeed a provocative act should North Korea decide to launch that missile.
At the United Nations, U.S. Ambassador John Bolton said he's consulting with members of the Security Council on what steps might be taken. And Japanese Prime Minister Koizumi warns North Korea of a harsh response. Stevie Ray Vaughan's got that right. Southeastern Texas and parts of Louisiana were inundated this morning with up to 10.5 inches of rain in a matter of hours. In Houston, Mayor Bill White did a flyover.
You had block after block after block flooded, and water wasn't just up to the driveway, but it was invading the structure.
Some people were trapped in their homes and had to be rescued.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Does it bite?
No, no, it's not mine.
See one bite. See one bite.
Texas Governor Rick Perry ordered up swift water rescue teams, helicopters, and other equipment from the National Guard. In Louisiana, more than 100 people had to be evacuated from a flooded nursing home. Forecasters expect more rain through tomorrow. In response to Mayor Ray Nagin's request, Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco is sending state police and National Guard troops to patrol the streets of New Orleans. City Councilwoman Stacey Head says that should free up local police to fight crime.
The National Guard are necessary for the protection of property. We have areas in our city that are sparsely populated at best. Some areas where there are no people whatsoever in for blocks and blocks and blocks.
Over the weekend, there were 6 murders in New Orleans, including 5 teenagers shot to death in an SUV. 2 days after being released from the hospital, comedian Jerry Lewis is working the phones for his annual Labor Day telethon to benefit the Muscular Dystrophy Association. His manager says Lewis, who had a stent put in an artery following a June 11th heart attack, is working from his boat in San Diego. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care, bumper to bumper. From diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. All backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. And right now it's our biggest Michelin tire sale of the year, with Michelin tires at the lowest prices of the season. You're going places this summer. Make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best. Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. CLN 7806.
Why do I like working here? It's just cool working for a company that's out there with the latest technology. It's given me a chance to learn and grow into a new career. And now, I'm the guy who gets my teammates fired up about bringing Verizon's innovative broadband network to folks around the country. It's just an outstanding place to work. I work hard for Verizon, and Verizon works hard for me. And if my baby could actually talk, I'm pretty sure he'd agree. I'm Ryan Hill, Fios Marketing Manager. Our people, our network. Verizon, we never stop working for you.
We're launching another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. Coming up later on, Stephen Hill will join us. He's a guy who's a proponent of instant runoff voting and other progressive approaches to civic engagement. He's written a book called 10 Steps to Repair American Democracy. He'll join us in about half an hour. And next hour, we open the phones in the free speech zone to talk with you about any issue from any viewpoint. Joining me now is Dar Jamail, a frequent visitor to our program because he writes with clarity and real passion about the true situation in Iraq. You can read his work either at truthout.org or his own website, darjamailiraq.com. And we'll spell that for you a little bit later on. Dar, welcome to the program today.
Thanks for having me again, Peter.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I appreciate your commitment on these issues. One thing that just came in over the transom a few minutes ago by email is a weird story that Abu Musab al-Zarqawi was registered for unemployment benefits in India. What was he unemployed from in India? Does anybody know?
That's a new one to me. You know, that whole Zarqawi situation, just even though he's supposedly dead, just never ceases to amaze me how out there it continues to be.
Do you have any suspicions about the official story we've been told about the bombing and killing of Zarqawi?
Having suspicions would be a very diplomatic way to put it. I've had my suspicions about the entire situation from the beginning, whether he even existed to begin with, and I had to go to his hometown personally and talk with some of his friends there to verify that about a year ago in Jordan. But so without a doubt, the fact is he really dead, and a question posed by some people I know at Al Jazeera, according to Jordanian intelligence officials, say that the photo that we've been shown of that this is supposedly Abu Musab al-Zarqawi by the U.S. military, they question whether that's actually even him.
Wow. Well, and Mark Manning, who produced that powerful documentary about the siege of Fallujah said that people there don't even believe that Zarqawi existed. They thought he was a complete myth created by the American occupiers.
Well, and that's exactly what I found when I poked around Amman and even around Zarqa, the town where Zarqawi is from, and certainly what I found in Iraq as well, is that the overall opinion was that people felt he was a phantom created by the U.S. military to use as propaganda.
Dar, yesterday the Washington Post published a what they say is a cable-marked sensitive that appears to be signed by Ambassador Khalilzad in Baghdad, and it was delivered to the White House at about the time the president decided to make his surprise trip to Baghdad last week. And in it is a litany of problems that basically, you know, you would have to believe that Khalilzad believes that it's time to warm up the helicopters and get ready for that embassy evacuation.
Well, that report is actually, I'm very glad that it's getting some wider attention and would be posted in the Washington Post, but it is, and, you know, if we look at it compared to even some of the things I've discussed with you on your show, even a good ways back, it's really not news. The fact that Iraqis, anyone seen or suspected of working with the U.S. in Iraq is a collaborator and is going to be punished by resistance groups or even extremist groups. The fact that infrastructure is in shambles, there's not enough electricity, there's corruption within the government, all of these things that this new leaked report show, it's not news. I mean, this is information that is well over a year old. It's only just now getting a little bit more broad attention, just like things like Haditha and ongoing atrocities by U.S. soldiers in Iraq.
But do you get the sense that it is kind of a step up in urgency for the ambassador to send this?
It very much is, and I appreciate the fact that he did send it and that it does directly refute everything that Mr. Bush has said following his recent five-hour visit to the Green Zone. But it is alarming, the fact that even the U.S. ambassador is willing to send something showing it's dire enough that they worry about the Green Zone even being overrun by various resistance groups or militias, that it is certainly that bad in Baghdad, that they not only do they not have control over anything outside of the Green Zone, but now they feel threatened enough that they worry about the continuing existence of even the Green Zone itself.
Mm-hmm. And, Dar, in an article that you posted on, June 19th, you described the 5 days of bloodshed in mostly in Baghdad, but in Iraq in general, in the period following this sneak visit by Bush.
That's right, because the visit to Baghdad by Bush was followed the very next day by an operation launched supposedly by the Prime Minister of Iraq, an operation called Operation Forward Together, where they essentially locked down Baghdad with well over 50,000 Iraqi and U.S. soldiers, armored vehicles, tanks, imposing a new, more drastic curfew and a weapons ban, and even banned all vehicle traffic in Baghdad the day that started. And yet that we've seen nothing but a continuation of car bombs and kidnappings and continuing violence and insecurity and instability in Iraq since that operation began. And really just in the next 5 days that I sort of surveyed broadly in that article, we look at the fact that well over 100 people have been killed, probably over 300 have been wounded, people are being kidnapped, businesses can't function, and what this operation has essentially done in Baghdad is just really compounded the situation once again.
And let me contrast a line from the Khalilzad memo. Personal safety depends on good relations with the neighborhood governments who barricade streets and ward off outsiders. The central government is not relevant. Even local mukhtars have been displaced or co-opted by militias. People no longer trust most neighbors. Now, let's contrast that with a quote that you have here in your article. This is from a gentleman in Baghdad. You describe him as a close friend of yours. And he opens by saying, Habibi, we are divided in three houses today. I'm at our home in Adamiya. My wife and two youngest boys are at her sister's house in Bab al-Mudam because it's safer for them. It's a mixed Sunni and Shia area, so there are no detentions. Our daughter is with her husband in their home, and my oldest son is at his house with his wife and baby, although it's not in a safe area. There's often fighting there, but not too many detentions. Today, Adamia is totally under occupation since early morning. None of the shops are open. The soldiers are holding up all cars and searching them. Home raids are happening. The city is a city of ghosts. This situation is the same in all the Sunni areas. Checkpoints are all over Baghdad. The highways between Baghdad and the other cities are all closed, and nobody can go on them. The airports are closed, and no flights are coming in or out of Baghdad. We cannot leave the country until the beginning of next month. By the way, three of my son's friends were killed by explosions 2 days ago while they were having fruits in the market. He came home crying because of that. The situation is very bad. The son of Abdul Sadr al-Kubaisi, who is in the Ministry of Interior, has been kidnapped from inside the ministry. He was found in one of the trash cans outside the Ministry of Interior building. So even the offices of the government are no longer safe. Now, this depicts chaotic conditions, people who are locked down by the military in their homes, and a level of ethnic cleansing that's going on that is not widely acknowledged in the United States, Star.
Right, and that's very disconcerting to me because we are getting reports now from all over Iraq, from the south, the center areas where Baghdad is, and even up in the Kurdish regions in the north, that ethnic cleansing and sectarian clashes are rampant. And it's because of that there are well over now a quarter of a million Iraqis inside their own country who are referred to by the UN as IDPs, internally displaced people. We have this situation primarily by sectarian cleansing now, and ethnic cleansing, literally, that thousands of people daily are having to leave their homes under death threats or simply because, for example, if you're a Sunni, and a predominant Sunni name is Omar. So I've had reports and have photos of people who've been tortured and killed simply because their name is Omar, because we have a situation where militias are around even Baghdad amidst this so-called Operation Forward Together, where they're running their own checkpoints and checking people's IDs. And if it's a Shia checkpoint, and if they catch a Sunni, then these people are being disappeared and vice versa. So it's a horrific situation, all of which is a direct result of these death squads, which were set up, instituted, funded, armed, and trained by primarily by the U.S. military under Negroponte's direction as far back as the winter of the late winter of 2004.
Mm-hmm. We'll pick up there as we continue in a moment with Dar Jamail. If you have a question or comment, you can join us. Lines available right now, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. As we continue with Dar Jamail, we'll talk about more atrocities being reported committed by U.S. troops, and we're going to talk about whether or not Ramadi will be getting the Fallujah treatment. That's coming up in the next segment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Thank you. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
KRXA 540 takes a look at your traffic on this Monday afternoon. Here's Metro Diane.
Going to start in the Santa Cruz bound, northbound 17 at Laurel Curve. We had an earlier injury accident, a motorcyclist actually down in the roadway. Crews are on scene and they've been able to reopen all the lanes, but traffic is still heavy in the area. In Watsonville, 129 at Lakeview Road, several big rigs actually stopped in the left-hand turn lane and blocking traffic. So traffic is also backed up in the area there. Plus, keep your eyes open for a bike in Salinas, Laurel Drive on-ramp to southbound 101, bike in the left-hand lane there. This report is brought to you by National University. Think only vampires get things accomplished at night? Wrong. Earn a BBA in intensive evening courses at National University. Visit the San Jose Academic Center today or call 1-800-NATUNIV. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Diane. We'll check back with you in about a half an hour. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the real situation in Iraq with independent journalist Dar Jamail. You can read his work at truthout.org or at his own website, darjamailiraq.com. DarJamailIraq. You know how to spell Iraq. darjamailiraq.com. And Dar, one more item here from the piece that you posted today regarding the 5 days after Bush's visit to Baghdad. You cite a Washington Post Foreign Service article about Iraq's prison system. Quote, it's overrun with Shiite Muslim militiamen who have freed fellow militia members convicted of major crimes and executed Sunni Arab inmates, the country's deputy justice minister said in an interview. Quote, we cannot control the prisons. It's as simple as that, said the deputy minister, Pusho Ibrahim Ali Dazi Yei, an ethnic Kurd. Our jails are infiltrated by the militias from top to bottom, from Basra to Baghdad. We didn't learn anything in Afghanistan, did we?
We really didn't, and I think Afghanistan is a good model to look to if we want to have an idea of where Iraq is headed, that it's clear that the plans coming out of the Bush administration for Iraq are simply to inject the U.S. military into these countries, set up a puppet government, have some bases established, and basically let the rest of the country go where it may, which, of course, just like in Iraq now, like we've seen in Afghanistan, where the rest of the country is basically being run by militias and various warlords, and that's exactly what we're seeing now, the situation degenerate into inside of Iraq.
And we hear them charge their critics with wanting to cut and run, and that's exactly what we did in Afghanistan. And, you know, with the proper facade, Bush is ready to do it again. And I'm not arguing for a longer occupation. I'm only talking about the hypocrisy of their rhetoric. Dar, next I want to turn to the series of reports of atrocities committed by U.S. troops The latest today, three soldiers in the 101st Airborne Division have been charged with killing three detainees who were in their custody. This occurred allegedly on May 9th. We have the sweep underway to try to locate two missing U.S. service members who are presumed to have been kidnapped. And the news report a few minutes ago reported that the U.S. has cleared 60 villages. And then we have, of course, the ongoing issues of Haditha and Hadamiyah. And you and a colleague, Arkan Hamad, Hamed, reported on June 12th the case of a mother of two, and she was killed in firing along with her cousin. They were on their way to a hospital so that the younger woman could give birth.
Exactly. This is another instance of U.S. military shooting first and asking questions later. These two women were being rushed to the hospital inside Samar from their village, a small village about a 40-minute car ride from there. They were going through the middle of the city when they were shot and killed from the back by U.S. snipers. The U.S. military promptly has said that these women were killed because the car entered a no-go zone or a prohibited area clearly marked, and the reality was that I managed to talk with a human rights investigator inside of Iraq, an Iraqi, and they had visited the scene just after this occurred, interviewed the driver of the car, who was actually the brother of the pregnant woman, as well as a couple of other witnesses on the ground, and all of them said that there were no signs marking that this was a prohibited area, that actually the U.S. military, some members there, after not going out and assisting the women after it was clear that these were unarmed civilians that they killed, instead they took the trouble to pull out a sign saying that this is a prohibited area, a checkpoint, and a car, all cars should stop proceeding forward, a sign that wasn't there, of course, when this these murders took place.
And curiously, Dar, you report that the brother of the woman who was killed was offered a cash settlement by the U.S., kind of double the standard payment of $5,000. And then you kind of back into how many times the U.S. has paid this kind of compensation. If $2,500 is the standard allocation, we have a report to Congress that a total of $19 million was paid out, and half of it in the Al-Anbar province west of Baghdad. And when you run the math on that, that's thousands of Iraqis who've been killed.
Right. It's really more irrefutable evidence, this time even coming from the Department of Defense, who released that $19 million figure, that that is the amount of compensation that was paid out in 2005. And it's stunning to see that. And really, the military has consistently now been using these compensation payments almost as bribery payments given to people, hoping that they won't talk to the press about what's happened and will keep quiet. In the instance we saw in Haditha, where a mass sum of $38,000 was immediately brought to these families and tried to be given sort of the gloss over the incident in hopes that people would take this as a sign of an apology and wouldn't talk to the media. Of course, that backfired on them, as well as this situation in Samar, where, again, they essentially offered the money to the driver of the car, the brother of the pregnant woman who was killed. He refused the money and was insulted by it, and instead decided he would talk to the press and try to get this information out about these types of atrocities which are ongoing in Iraq.
Dar, we have about a minute and a half remaining. A piece that you posted on the 12th of June is titled Ramadi, Fallujah Redux. Are we preparing to basically level the city of Ramadi as we did most of Fallujah?
Right now, and I have a story coming out quite soon about this, an update. Right now, Ramadi is looking more like the April 2004 siege of Fallujah rather than the November siege where most of the city was destroyed. Instead, the U.S. military, while they have sealed the city and have many, many checkpoints and are using airstrikes, they're going neighborhood by neighborhood instead of an all-out siege on the city. They simply don't have enough soldiers to do that, and the city's twice the size geographically as Fallujah. But they have been issuing threats by loudspeakers into the city. Leave, we're going to do to Ramadi what we did to Fallujah, and already we have at least 100,000 people who have fled the city. Most of them are, once again now, internally displaced people inside the country.
You quote, a man who lives in Fallujah recently visited Ramadi. Any new government starts with a massacre. That seems like the price we Iraqis must pay, especially in the Sunni areas. Ramadi has been deprived of water, electricity, phones, and all services for 2 months now. U.S. and government forces frankly told people of Ramadi they will not get any services unless they hand over the terrorists. Well, the story is going to continue. Dar, we'll talk again. Thank you for the work you do.
Thank you, Peter.
Nice to talk with you. That's Dar Jamail. Visit his website, darjamailiraq.com. Coming up next, do you trust elections in this country? Stephen Hill will join us. He's written a book called 10 Steps to Repair American Democracy. Next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay Area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented us from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Elvis has left the building, but you can still call him. and you can always call me. And ever since Elvis left the building, has the vibrancy of America's democracy declined? I think that's a fair assessment. Stephen Hill joins us on the program this half hour. His new book is called 10 Steps to Repair American Democracy. It's from that fine little publishing house called Polypoint Press. Stephen, welcome to our program.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I've been doing a little research on you, available information on the Internet, not your NSA file. And you seem to be a guy who spearheaded the effort to bring instant runoff voting to San Francisco. Is that true?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, I think
and also public financing of elections.
Right, the clean money approach?
Yeah, well, it's kind of similar to clean money, not exactly. That's kind of the Cadillac plan. We passed the Volvo plan here.
Well, first of all, explain to our listeners the benefit of IRV, because I think that it's a fascinating way to cut the cost of runoff elections, and it really enhances the power of people to get beyond the two dominant political parties.
Yes, it really it liberates voters to vote for what voters really want. With IRV, instant runoff voting, the way it works is, instead of just picking one candidate when you walk into the voter's booth, you get to actually rank your favorite candidates, a first choice, second choice, and a third choice. And with instant runoff voting, if your first choice doesn't win, your vote then goes to your second choice as kind of your backup choice. It's your runoff choice. And if we had used this method, for instance, in the 2000 presidential election in Florida, the 100,000 Ralph Nader voters in Florida would have had the option of ranking a second choice. And there's no question that thousands of them would have ranked Al Gore because he would have been more preferable to them than George W. Bush. And when they finished the instant runoff process, Al Gore would have been the recipient of all those runoff votes, and he would have won Florida, he would have won the presidency, and history would have been changed just by simply changing the method that we use to elect president or elect any office. You can really get a different outcome with elections. And as I mentioned earlier, because of this process, you, the voter, are really freed up to vote for the candidate you like. Because so often now voters say, well, I like this candidate over here, but I know she or he doesn't stand a chance of winning, so I'm going to vote for the lesser of two evils. With this system, you're freed up to vote for the candidates you really like.
Well, and let's turn now to a contentious election that some people are still disputing. It's District 50's congressional race to replace Duke Cunningham from now until the end of the year. It's the short-term fill-in. And Francine Busby, apparently, according to the tally, lost by a mere 4,732 votes to lobbyist Brian Bilbray. And the Progressive Democrats of America have issued a no-confidence statement. We have a regular segment on our show with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, and he has enumerated for us what the problems were in San Diego, these electronic machines that were in the custody of election workers in some cases for over 2 weeks. They took them home. They had them in their cars, and that's a significant breach of the kind of security chain that is expected for this technology, even, you know, putting aside the other concerns that we have about it. Do you have confidence in the Busby-Bilbray election in District 50, Stephen?
Well, it's certainly a lot of doubts have been raised, and the allegation, or not the allegation, we know that they had these machines in people's houses and their garages for a period of days and even up to a week, from what I've heard. That is extremely, extremely upsetting, because one of the ways you prevent fraud is by keeping the chain of custody limited to a few number of people. I mean, you know, if you keep proper tabs on this equipment, it can be difficult to actually commit fraud, because there's no way for a hacker to get in and sort of like affect numerous machines at once. You have to have access to each individual piece of equipment, and when they're stored in a warehouse and under security and protection and these sorts of things, that should be difficult to do unless the election officials themselves are compromised and are determined to sway the election via fraudulent means. But when you break the chain of custody, then it's a whole new ball game, and at that point you can't say for certain that something didn't occur.
Well, and the registrar in San Diego County seems offended by people who have raised the prospect that this election could have been interfered with. Only 4,700 votes separate the top two vote-getters, and we have these security lapses with the equipment. And when you add to that the hackability of the machines that has been demonstrated by Harry Hursty and others, well, I've got very serious concerns. And in a race of this importance, I'm A, disappointed that Francine Busby conceded so quickly, and I'm stunned that the Republicans have already sworn Brian Bilbray in, and the election hasn't even been certified.
Well, and these are just many of the glaring defects we have with our election process. And I mean, in Chapter 1 of 10 Steps to Repair American Democracy, I go into this. And I mean, to give you an example, a lot of the election administrators themselves, I mean, you'd think that with elections today where they're run on computers and you have, you know, very sophisticated databases, you'd think these would be highly trained people, maybe even would go to a school somewhere to learn how to run an election. That would be furthest from the truth. In fact, what you have are election administrators who often sort of drift into elections from whatever they did before. The director of elections in one large county in California before drifting into elections, he was writing product descriptions for a seafood company. And then suddenly he's in elections 3 years later. He's now the director of elections. And then they learn all through on-the-job training. So it's not like these are highly trained people at all. And what they know, they're comfortable with, but what they don't know, they don't want to have to deal with. And so what you get is all this pushback from them when it comes to citizens actually trying to say, hey, we want to be assured that there's security in our elections. And so that's what you're experiencing in San Diego County, is that they are simply, they don't want to deal with people who want to be looking over their shoulder while they're running elections. It's absolutely incredible, but that is, in fact, how our elections are run in the United States. I could give numerous examples.
Yeah, that kind of arrogance. Stephen Hill with us on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, grab a line right now, 831-899-5792, or toll free at 888-579-2540. Did you happen, Stephen, to see the news hour on PBS last week, the Spencer Michaels report on the California primary?
I did not see it, but I've read the transcript from it, so I'm aware of what they talked about in that broadcast.
Well, and they just happened to pick a precinct to do some B-roll shoot in Stockton.
Right.
And they came across people who couldn't operate the machines. Seals had been broken. It's just amazing.
Well, I've been in touch with some poll workers in Los Angeles County, and amazingly, this particular person said that she was sent a letter saying, if you come to our training to be a poll worker, you'll be paid, say, $120 for the day. If you don't come to the training, you'll only be paid $90 for the day. And so, and she actually responded to go to the training, and they never got back to her. But it's incredible to me that they would even consider poll workers who have not been trained for that election, especially this election this time around. All the counties in California were using new equipment that were mandated by the Help America Vote Act for people with disabilities. And so you had lots of poll workers out there who didn't know how the new equipment works, couldn't help people if they were having difficulty if they wanted to. It's like watching a creaking bridge over the river and cars are zooming past it as if there's nothing wrong, and you're standing there watching, oh my God, this thing is going to collapse. I mean, I'm amazed that our elections run as well as they do. We're living on borrowed time.
The PBS story only covered San Diego and San Joaquin counties. There are 56 others. And we can't assume that everything went smoothly in the other 56 counties.
That's exactly right. And in part because, for instance, when it comes to recounts, in one county in California, we've discovered that you're supposed to do what's called a 1% manual tally, where you randomly select precincts after the election has been concluded, and then you compare a hand count in those 1% of precincts with the machine count in those same precincts to make sure that the machines are counting accurately. They were going to select the precincts before the election had even been concluded. And they were going to do this even though several members of the public asked to be there when they randomly selected these precincts. They were being denied the request to be there. Again, there's not enough transparency. I mean, the National Association of Secretaries of State, who are supposed to be the top election officials in the country, they asked that the only oversight body that has even been created in recent years, the Election Assistance Commission, they asked Congress to disband it because they don't want anyone looking over their shoulders. And then it comes to find out, as the New York Times reported, that the National Association of Secretary of State gets 60% of its budget from the election equipment vendors. So, you know, basically, conflicts of interest have crept up like a weed into every crack and crevice of our election administration. There's more oversight to the gaming industry and casinos and slot machines than there are to our voting equipment and the elections industry in general. It's really just, it's appalling. And the good thing I can say is that more people are paying attention to this now, including, you know, average citizens as well as political leaders, and a consensus is emerging that we've got to do something, but unfortunately, these things take time to mobilize around.
And I have a little good news and a little bad news. I was in Washington last week at a progressive conference, the Take Back America conference, and to her credit, Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, a Democrat from Illinois, stood up, described Robert F. Kennedy's lengthy recent article about the Ohio election in 2004 that was in Rolling Stone, and said that she agrees with Kennedy that the election was stolen. She apologized to people like you, Stephen Hill, for not taking these issues more seriously, and promised that the DCCC, the Congressional Campaign Committee, would be issuing a statement encouraging Democrats to be more vigilant. The not-so-good news is I picked up a 56-page booklet called Progressive Agenda for Election Reform 2006, published by the Center for Policy Alternatives, funded by the Carnegie Foundation. And there is not one word in here about electronic voting machines or the hackability of touchscreen systems.
Yeah, as I said, these things are going to take time. Unfortunately, a lot of counties are buying new equipment before we've really created the standards that are necessary to make sure that they're secure. I know people get depressed and pessimistic by hearing about these things, but I want to say that given all the things that we're talking about, I still believe that it's important to vote. I think in most elections our votes do count. It's just that it's the really close elections we have to watch. So that allows us to narrow the field in terms of what we have to watch. But I think the things that we need to be working on in terms of solutions are, one, we need to make sure we have impartial and fair election officials. that's bottom line, because it doesn't matter what technology you're voting on, whether it's paper ballots and pen or computers, if the election officials themselves are crooked or determined to change the outcome by fraudulent means, they'll figure out a way to do it. I mean, we have a long history in this country of ballot boxes and paper ballots disappearing or ballot boxes being stuffed.
Stephen, we'll address some of your other proposals in a moment, but we got to take a break here. Stephen Hill, director of the Political Reform Program of the New America Foundation and co-founder of the Center for Voting and Democracy. His new book is called 10 Steps to Repair American Democracy. And we'll continue in a moment. Your calls and comments, welcome here, 831-899-5792 or toll free, 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
KRXA 540 with a look at traffic on the ride home. Here's Metro Diane.
Well, some good news for Santa Cruz Mountain, northbound 17 at Laurel Curve. We had an earlier accident involving a motorcyclist. All the lanes have been reopened. Be aware, though, traffic is still heavily backed up in the area. In Salinas, West Blanco Road at Hitchcock Road, there's an irrigation pipe sticking out into the lanes, and this is a bit of a hazard, so keep your eyes open for it. Also in Salinas, Davis Road between Westridge Parkway and Auto Center Circle. There's maintenance work going on in the area as crews resurface the roadway. So the southbound lanes are closed with traffic detoured to one northbound lane. Expect delays for that. This report is brought to you by National University. Remember how amazing life seemed when you were a kid? Experience it again. Earn your BA in Early Childhood Development at National University. Visit the San Jose Academic Center today or call 1-800-NATUNIV. I'm dying with traffic on KRXA 540.
Eleven minutes before the hour as the Peter B. Collins Show continues. No guests in the next hour. It's wide open for you in the free speech zone. And we continue now with Stephen Hill. He's director of the Political Reform Program of the New America Foundation, co-founder of the Center for Voting and Democracy. His new book is called 10 Steps to Repair American Democracy. And, Stephen, let's talk a little bit about some of the other proposals that you have offered. First and foremost, to clean up the anomalies, vagaries, and what some people think is outright fraud in recent elections, and then moving forward to try to build a more robust participatory democracy in this country. So I had to cut you off for the break there. It sounds like you had a couple of other proposals related to the current situation.
Well, in terms of getting more voters involved, one of the most effective things we could do is what's called universal voter registration, which is what most established democracies in the world do. And what that means is that when someone turns 18 who's eligible to vote, they're automatically registered to vote. There's no forms they have to fill out. It just happens automatically. And you get something in the mail saying, congratulations, you're now a voter, and here's where you vote. And if we were to do this in the United States, we would add about 60 million eligible voters who are not on the voting rolls today. That's almost 30% of eligible voters. In California, we would add 6 million voters who are eligible to vote. And a lot of the people who are eligible and aren't registered tend to be young people, minorities, and what have you. So it would be really disenfranchising a whole group of people, and really changing in some ways changing the electorate in a way that would make our elections more representative of the people who are really living in our society. So that would be extremely important to do.
I applaud the intent of that, but I have some concerns. One is, if you simply automatically register people, one of the results will be even lower rates of turnout. We had a 30% turnout for the California primary, and this shocked me when I was in Washington last week, Stephen. The turnout in the contested Senate primary in Virginia was 3.5%.
Oh yeah, I'm quite aware of it. I mean, we're seeing a huge increase in single-digit voter turnouts, but a lot of the thing is that, for young people, if you don't catch them by the time they leave high school, for instance, and one of the proposals we're making here in California is to lower the voter registration age to 16. So while they're in school, you get them on the voter rolls, and then when they become 18, it becomes a live registration. Because if you don't catch them young like that, you may lose them for 10 years or more, because if you're not on the voter rolls, candidates and campaigns don't mail you things, they don't call you, you're basically in a disengagement cycle at that point. Mm-hmm. And so by using things like universal voter registration, you have a much greater chance of getting these people involved and actually getting them engaged in political campaigns than you do when they're off the voter rolls. So
I understand that, but I also like the same-day registration approach that is used in Minnesota.
Yep.
That's what permitted a lot of young people to, at the last minute, decide they wanted to elect Jesse Ventura their governor. Now, putting aside his success or failure in that office, it was a great example of a vibrant Democratic participation. But the flip side of that, Stephen, is that if we simply, you know, enfranchise every American, aren't we diluting the overall intelligence of the people who do show up to vote? And aren't they more likely to be manipulated by the kind of false and misleading television advertising that drives most political campaigns today?
No, I don't think so. I think because by having them on the rolls, now you have a whole bunch of organizations that are dedicated to nothing but voter registration. And you know, a lot of money is spent, especially around time of elections, and you see abuse that goes on. For instance, in the 2004 presidential election, there was that incident in Nevada where a voter registration group, which is supposed to be doing sort of good government work, it turned out to be a Republican front group, and so they were taking voter registration cards that where Democrats had filled them out, and they were tossing them in the garbage. And this kind of behavior went on in a few different states. And by using universal voter registration, you get rid of these sorts of abuses that right now are creating problems. And by getting voters on the rolls, you not only make them more secure in that sense, but you actually can increase voter turnout by engaging voters, because now these organizations that are dedicated to voter registration, they can focus on actually mobilizing those voters to vote. I mean, I know various organizations that, you know, their resources are stretched because first they have to register people to vote, and then when it comes time to election time, they got to turn them out to vote. And at a certain point, there's just not enough resources there to do it. So this would just make one job a lot, you know, it would be done automatically, and then vote organizations can focus on mobilizing people and really turning out the vote. So I think that's one of the benefits of doing it this way.
I'm drawn to your argument, but I'm still a little bit apprehensive because I want people to have an affirmative sense of participation. Nobody has ever had to turn me out to vote, Stephen. They've never had to drive me to the poll or do anything. It's not that difficult.
Well,
I would certainly support having weekend voting, a voting holiday, let people do it online. I want to make it as accessible as possible, but I still have this sense that I want the pool to be as well-informed and as engaged as possible.
Well, you share that point of view with Richard Nixon, I hate to say it. I mean, Nixon made one rather infamous quote where when he was wiretapping himself, ironically, in the Oval Office, and he said, you know, we don't want these people voting, these Mexicans and blacks and what have you. They're too dumb. And so, you know, what I'm suggesting is that when you raise the expectation for people to be involved, it's been my experience, people respond to that expectation. And this is a way of raising the expectation, okay, you're on the voter rolls, and now it's important to participate. And we could use the various organizations of civic society to then get those people to the polls and voting. Election Day registration also is good, but this would actually get more people on the rolls than even that method. So,
okay. Let's talk about one other aspect of reform. We don't have time to touch on all the elements in your book, but reclaiming the airwaves. What do you think is the appropriate use of the public media for election purposes?
Well, it's not even just for election purposes, but even just for informing the public. I mean, one of the things I go into in my book is just how the concentration of the media and what that's doing to the public discourse, and then you add into that what I call the national security media, who basically during the run-up to the Iraq War forgot what it was meant to be a media that is supposed to be objective and doing their own investigation and not just taking Pentagon press releases and writing them like Judith Miller did from the New York Times as if they were actually news. So I think we have to stop the media consolidation. Even Ted Turner is calling for that now. Break up the cable TV monopoly, restore the fairness doctrine. And I think extremely important is to establish a more robust public broadcasting sector in the United States. You know, you look at countries like Sweden, Germany, and what have you, even Canada and the UK, they're spending $40 to $50 per capita on public broadcasting. In the United States, we spend $2 per capita on public broadcasting. But in terms of the candidates and the electoral process itself, we need to have public financing of elections. We need to have free airtime for the candidates and the political parties to be able to get their point of view out there. And we have to look at it from the point of view of the voter. If you look at it in the sense that we want voters to have enough information to make a good decision, then things like public financing and free airtime just make sense, because it's an infrastructure question at that point about getting information into the hands of voters. So these are the sorts of things that we really need to start doing in order to make sure that there's sufficient debate and discussion and even funding opposition points of view. I mean, during the run-up to the Iraq War, that was the whole problem, is that there really wasn't an opposition party out there.
Right. Stephen, we're out of time. Ona, thank you for your passion, and thank you for the book, 10 Steps to Repair American Democracy. We've been talking with Stephen Hill,
and
director of the Political...
There's a website for the book, www.10steps.net.
Okay, 10steps.net, and it includes a foreword by Hendrik Hertzberg from The New Yorker, one of my favorite writers. Thank you, Stephen. Nice to talk with you.
My pleasure.
Free speech coming up next on The Peter B. Collins Show.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Pentagon is skeptical of a claim by an insurgent group in Iraq that it's holding two missing American soldiers. Their whereabouts are still unknown, and CBS News correspondent Lee Cowan reports an all-out search continues in the Sunni-controlled region south of Baghdad.
It's just about the meanest place there is, really. This is the Triangle of Death. And just to give an example of just how volatile it is, even the local newspapers here, they won't send their local reporters into these areas to know what's going on. They rely everything basically on phone calls, because it's just so volatile down there.
CBS News correspondent David Martin has details of how it went down last Friday.
A squad of soldiers was manning a checkpoint at a bridge the Army had erected over an irrigation canal. When they started taking fire from insurgents, part of the squad set off in pursuit, leaving three soldiers alone at the checkpoint. A second team of insurgents attacked and overwhelmed them. The rest of the squad heard the gunfire and went rushing back. But by the time they got there, one soldier was dead, and the only sign of the other two was a trail of bloody footprints leading away from the Humvee.
It's been more than 2 years since the last American soldier was captured in Iraq, and Corporal Keith Maupin is still listed as missing. Three soldiers have been charged with premeditated murder in the deaths of three detainees north of Baghdad last month. The victims were killed during a raid on a suspected insurgent training camp. The Bush administration is rallying international support for a tough response if North Korea goes ahead with a missile test. CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod reports it's just about ready to go.
The Pentagon is now moving planes and ships configured with special equipment closer to North Korea to track the test firing of a missile with enough range to hit the U.S. West Coast. Now fully fueled, the missile could be launched as soon as Wednesday.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice warned today that a launch would be a provocative act, and the White House pointed out that in 2002, North Korea agreed to a moratorium on missile tests. The new hurricane season is underway. New Orleans still faces the monumental task of rebuilding after Katrina, and now Mayor Ray Nagin has to cope with a resurgence of crime.
The things that happened pre-Katrina are definitely no longer acceptable, and we are coming together.
He asked for state help today, and Governor Kathleen Blanco quickly agreed. Denise Botcher is her spokeswoman.
Tomorrow morning, 60 state troopers and 100 National Guardsmen from the Louisiana National Guard will be deployed to New Orleans to provide law enforcement support to police officers of the New Orleans City Police Department.
That should free the local police to fight crime. New Orleans had six murders over the weekend. Texas Governor Rick Perry has ordered National Guard troops to help with flood relief in the Houston area. A torrent of rain this morning flooded entire neighborhoods, and forecasters say there's more on the way. On Wall Street, a dismal day. The Dow Industrial is down 72 points to close below 11,000 at 10,942. The Nasdaq lost 19 points. This is CBS News.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, phishing attacks, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And there's only one way to stop them.
With Barracuda Network's spam, spyware, and IM firewalls. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 30,000 companies and leading universities are Barracuda Network's customers. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM.
888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
Where do you want to be?
I'll bet you a dollar if we look on Remax.com, we'll just find Remax listings.
I bet you're wrong.
Okay, let's see. Remax, somebody else, somebody else.
Looks like all the listings to me.
Why would Remax do that?
To give us consumers what we want.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, way cool.
Just like you.
Yeah, thanks, but you still owe me a dollar.
Find your perfect place. It's easier than ever at Remax.com. Nobody sells more real estate than Remax. Each office independently owned and operated.
Just getting underway, the deciding game in hockey's Stanley Cup Finals.
It's the question of the night here in Raleigh. Could the Carolina Hurricanes end up losing three games in a row?
They haven't done it yet this playoffs, and I don't believe they will. It's for the Carolina Hurricanes, I think it's hard for them to lose. It's hard for them to lose three games.
The Hurricanes are trying to win their first Stanley Cup, while the Oilers hope to become the first team in 64 years to win the Cup after being down 3-1 in the finals. Jim Krasula, CBS News, Raleigh, North Carolina.
The school board in Federal Way, Washington, meets tonight to vote on a new dress code, and many students are hoping for a flip-flop on the issue of flip-flops. The proposed rules would ban slippers, pajamas, halter tops, shirts that expose the stomach, unusually low-riding pants, short shorts, and miniskirts. Flip-flops would also be banned as a matter of safety, but one student says even teachers wear them to school. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The following is a message from Pfizer. Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject guys hate to talk about, erectile dysfunction. Well, if guys won't even talk about it, how can we doctors treat them? First caller.
Yes, just for the record, I've never personally experienced ED.
Okay.
But were I ever someday to have this issue, I have a prearranged code with my doctor.
You're going to mention some kind of code phrase.
Exactly. One I'm not at liberty to divulge at this point in time.
And you think your doc will remember it?
Well...
Wouldn't it be easier to just take a deep breath and blurt out?
As in, hey doc, I think I might have ED.
Well, yeah.
That wasn't so bad. Thanks.
And we're on the air. If you think you might have ED, your doctor's the one who can help. So blurt, stammer, hem, or haw, your doc will get the drift. It could make a difference in your sex life. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, visit JustAskToday.com.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and this hour is devoted entirely to your phone calls. We call it the Free Speed Zone. Lines are available, 831-899-5792, or toll-free, 1-888-579-2540.
I want to know what you're thinking. There are some things you can't hide. I want to know what you're feeling. Tell me what's on your mind.
Do use your free speech rights while they're still available. I will take your call on any subject from any point of view from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Once again, the toll-free number is 1-888-579-2540. Maybe you want to comment on Norman Solomon's remarks earlier today, Hillary Rodham Clinton's premature triangulation. Matthew Rothschild brought us up to date on two important Supreme Court cases that were decided in favor of the government and against the interests of the people. We talked with Dar Jamil about the real situation in Iraq and Stephen Hill about the need to reform our democracy in this country. Any of those subjects are up for grabs. You can call and comment. Or maybe you'd like to talk about how much safer you feel now that U.S. National Guard forces have been deployed near the Mexican border. They're not actually guarding the border. They're going to polish some trucks, tune them up, work on some fences, that sort of thing. But they're not actually going to be armed. when they are deployed on, and they're not even supposed to be put on patrol. But they're there, and isn't that wonderful? I feel sad for any troops who came back from Iraq only to discover that their National Guard unit is being sent to the hot desert along the California, Arizona, or Texas borders. Well, Dianne Feinstein gets what Hillary Clinton doesn't. She has joined Senators Carl Levin, Jack Reed, and Ken Salazar in offering an amendment on U.S. policy in Iraq. And she says, quote, according to the Pentagon, there are now more than 260,000 Iraqi military and police personnel who have been trained and equipped, and 62 Iraqi battalions are now believed capable of taking the lead in the security effort. As the Iraqis increasingly assume the reins of control after 3 years of U.S. military operations in Iraq, it is critical that we transition the mission to one of logistical support and training of Iraqi military and police. It's not too different from what Jack Murtha has argued for. Now I just say, Senator Feinstein, it's about time, but good for you. Also, we learned in a powerful expose in Sunday's New York Times that the Bush administration's form of crony capitalism has taken on a new dimension. Many of the fine people who served in the Department of Homeland Security, and I hate that name, I hate that name, have since left the government so they can cash in, working for companies that do business with, you guessed it, the Department of Homeland Security. It's supposed to be against the law. They're supposed to wait a year before they lobby anybody on behalf of a client. But they have found clever ways around it. 50 members of the management of DHS have now moved over to companies where they are involved in domestic security from a commercial point of view. Tom Ridge, the former Department of Homeland Security secretary, is on the board of Ridge Global, I guess that's his consulting firm, Exelon, Dayon, Lucent Technologies, and Savvy Technologies. James Loy was his deputy secretary. He's now working for Lockheed Martin. Asa Hutchinson, a former congressman, is now a consultant on border and transportation security for Fortress America, SafeLink, and GVI Security Solutions. And lest you think, Brian, or anyone else, that I can only see this kind of corruption among Republicans, well, there's Richard Clark, and I don't know his political affiliation, but Clark was the director of domestic security for Clinton and was held over by the Bush administration. He now is the chairman of Good Harbor Partners and Good Harbor Consulting. And Roger Cressy, who was on the over at the White House on the President's Critical Infrastructure Board, is now at Good Harbor Consulting. And I'm going to have to dive into this article a little deeper because I didn't find out exactly what Good Harbor does. But it's really troubling to me that we're supposed to believe that our nation has been at great risk, and that heroic, courageous, patriotic Americans like Tom Ridge and even Richard Clark selflessly devoted themselves to protecting you and me from the threats posed by the so-called war on terrorism or war on terror. And now we see that these guys are no different from Abramoff's buddies, DeLay's buddies, and others who have used their position in our government to enrich themselves. And there's a story about one of these individuals. I can't quite find it because it's a lengthy article, but it is a woman who left Homeland Security in April of last year, went to work for one of these firms that lobbies or represents companies that sell equipment to Homeland Security. And she made $900,000 in her first 9 months of employment. Her salary for the government had been a little under $200,000. And so we can see that there's a pattern here, a pattern of behavior by Bush administration employees. And in today's installment, I guess it's at least a two-part series, the New York Times profiles a guy named Stephen Flynn. Now think back, all the way back to January, when we were all embroiled in this controversy over Dubai purchasing control of the infrastructure at a number of ports around the country. Well, one of the people who was trotted out as an expert on this is Stephen Flynn. And I saw him in many media appearances where he, advocated for tighter security in our ports. Well, he now works for a company called SAIC, and they make equipment that scans and analyzes big containers and tractor-trailer rigs as they are being processed through our ports. Doesn't appear that there is anybody anymore who works in our government for the joy of serving the people, serving the country, and that there isn't anybody there who is planning to make a life of it and, you know, just kind of do their duty and serve the people. Instead, people drop into these jobs for a year or 18 months, and then they pop out so that they can make millions and millions of dollars in the private sector. I'd like to hear your comments on this. We've got lines available, 831-899-5792, or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Also, I want to commend to you Paul Krugman's op-ed in today's New York Times. I'll read you a little bit of it. In case you haven't noticed, modern American politics is marked by vicious partisanship, with the great bulk of the viciousness coming from the right. It's clear that the Republican plan for the 2006 election is, once again, to question Democrats' patriotism. But do Republican leaders truly believe that they're serious about fighting terrorism while Democrats aren't? When the Speaker of the House declares that we in this Congress must show the same steely resolve as those men and women on United Flight 93, is that really the way he sees himself? Dennis Hastert, man of steel? Of course not. So what's our bitter partisan divide really about? In two words, class warfare. That's the lesson of an important new book, Polarized America, The Dance of Ideology and Unequal Reaches, by Nolan McCarty of Princeton, Keith Poole of the University of California, and Howard Rosenthal of New York University. What the book shows, using a sophisticated analysis of congressional votes and other data, is that for the past century, political polarization and economic inequality have moved hand in hand. That kind of sums it up for you. So I'm going to take a break and return, and I want you to get on the phone and talk with us about these issues in the news. Or if I haven't brought up the one that really matters to you, you bring it on yourself. 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. It's the Free Speech Zone, and I'm expecting your call. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 519 now. Here's Metro Diane.
We have a stalled vehicle in Scotts Valley. It's southbound 17 at Glenwood Cutoff. Stalled vehicle actually in the second lane from the left. And in Santa Cruz, northbound 17 after 1, there's a hose across both the lanes, so definitely watch out for that. And also a pipe in the roadway in Santa Cruz County. It's northbound 1 at Ocean Street. Large pipe in the left-hand lane. And finally, in Elkhorn, Ormart Road at Cashville Boulevard, there's a semi parked in the roadway, so it is blocking traffic. This report is brought to you by River Rock Casino. Sign up for a Players Club card at River Rock Casino in June and play your way to free gas. It's the gas and cash giveaway, and your play can get you $25 in free gas every day from River Rock Casino in Alexander Valley. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Diane. Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show right here. Twenty minutes after the hour, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. If you'd like to drop me an email, I would enjoy reading it. Just send it to Peter at peterbcollins.com. That's the same web address where you can find our archive programs and links to the live stream. peterbcollins.com. You got it? And we are here in the free speech zone where your calls and comments are welcome on any subject and any viewpoint. It's no holds barred, and that means if you're a conservative and even if your name's Brian, you can call in 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. Up first, it's Steve in Watsonville. Hi, Steve.
Thanks, Peter, for taking my call.
Steve, I hate that. You're the only guy on the line right now. This is an open hour.
Well,
and
then we
allow
an hour.
Me, Steve, allow me to thank you for bothering to call.
I'll jump right in then. at the top of the hour, where there was an item, and what I have an Irish last name. I understand Collins is, there's some famous Irish Collinses, you know.
Yeah, I'm Irish.
To say the least. The kidnapped soldiers in Iraq yesterday, it sounds to me like as if some IRA had kidnapped some British soldiers shortly after the IRF had bombed, say, Jerry Adams' house and killed, a significant IRA leader.
Okay, and you're comparing it in what way?
Comparing the orange IRA troubles in Northern Ireland to the low-level civil war that's going on between the Sunni and the Shia.
And so where does that take us? I'm not quite sure what your point is.
The problem that I think it's well known in the north of Ireland that the same people are supplying both sides with the weapons.
Well, and not only that, we have a situation where we really can't tell the Sunni from the Shia. And we are often going out on patrols with this new Iraq military that Feinstein was bragging about.
Bingo.
She says
bingo.
260,000. I mean, that's a highly inflated figure.
You tell me how the British soldiers in the north of Ireland can tell the Catholics from the Protestants, other than what neighborhood they're in.
Well, at least when they march, the Protestants wear orange.
Well, if they'd only march all the time, then, you know.
Yeah.
Trouble is, Peter, that you know the marches go on one day a year.
Right.
And the rest of the year, everybody looks like everybody else. And it's an insane situation to be in. The British finally managed to, you know, at least get the hell out.
Well, do you recall that in, let's see, it would have been in April of 2004. No, let me get it right. It probably was in the fall of 2003. Bush and Blair met in Northern Ireland to talk about their plans for the occupation of Iraq. And I just thought, Blair, you know, couldn't you have picked a Club Med somewhere? Or
there you go. How about the Cayman Islands?
Yeah. But to go to site of the longest occupation by the British is just amazing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said they couldn't use the Cayman Islands that weekend because Jack Abramoff and Tom DeLay were down there.
I see. All right, Steve, thanks a lot for your call. Good to have you listening. And Billy's on the line now, a budding radio talk show host. Hi, Billy.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Doing great today.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Well, it was my pleasure, and thanks for calling yourself, because it's a little slow here this afternoon. I'm never sure quite why.
Yeah, so, you know, what do you want to talk about today?
Well, I don't know. We covered a lot of things. I think, to me, the most alarming, really, is the recent rulings by the Supreme Court that have garnered very little reaction from the American people on what the New York Times euphemized as, you know, a reduction in the standards for no-knock searches. Here it is, court limits protection against improper entry. And, of course, on the case of the post-9/11 people who were caught up in a sweep and detained, many for months without counsel, some of them were tortured, the court said, they're foreigners, never mind.
And, you know, there's only a step further for it to be us. Here's what I don't get. Where's the outrage? Where is the people? I know, you know it makes me crazy, but I'm a little crazy. I allow myself to feel these things powerfully.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just that all y'all who make it a living, you're too busy, you're too tired? I mean, really, we have lost the democracy. Nobody seems to care. They keep stealing elections from us, and we do nothing about it, sending the message that it's okay to continue doing it. You know, a friend of mine was listening to the hour I did this morning was giving me a hard time because I didn't push the boycott Exxon that I'd like to talk about.
I heard you mention it.
I mentioned it, but he thinks I should just push it and push it and push it, and I really want to see people feel empowered. I think we've given up I think our mantra is, well, it's always been that way. They all did it. Clinton, you know, anybody says something about Bush, somebody says something about Clinton did, and I just think we feel like we have to accept crap now, that we don't expect anybody to mean it when they say, well, I'm a public servant. You know, as you point out, all those people did. The only reason most of those people were in government was to enrich themselves. And we need to realize that and act that like that's our set point and not believe people who run for office. Challenge them every chance we get. Anyway.
Well, it is amazing. I mean, I have this article up in front of me from the New York Times today, and this guy, Stephen Flynn, is a retired Coast Guard commander, and he was a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, and he went on television repeatedly without explaining that he has a direct connection. He's a paid consultant to SAIC, the Scientific Applications International Corporation, a company that manufactures a screening system, a cargo inspection system, and that's what he was proposing as the solution to our vulnerabilities that were raised when people started looking at the ports around the Dubai ports deal. And, you know, this is just one example of the way that people are running rings around us in their self-interest, and the media doesn't pipe up, and the opposition appears to be non-existent.
Exactly. And, you know, I blame the American people, but before I can blame the American people, you have to blame the media, who supposedly, it's their job to inform us. I would suggest to you it's their job to inflame us. And they're just have backed off it. Now, I understand why the famous journalists don't ask tough questions, because people, you make people feel uncomfortable. You just want to be rich and happy. But it's just not working for us. I think it's gotten, see, that's the thing. I believe that it's really gotten to the point where everybody else sees it now. I'm not the only crazy person in the room.
Well, and last week, Tim Russert was picking up air kisses from Jon Stewart on The Daily Show, and Jon was pretty good with him. But Russert was there explaining all the questions that he has asked Dick Cheney over the years and just how tough he's been. What he forgot to mention is that he never forces Cheney to answer any of the questions he asks him. And so, you know, hey, Tim, good job. You asked the question, but you went away without an answer. And he's done that repeatedly as he cozies up to the rich, powerful, and famous.
Right.
Billy, thanks for joining us. We'll be listening tomorrow. And for our listeners outside of Monterey, Billy is co-hosting the show with Casey, 9 to 10 a.m., and you can listen online at krxa540.com. Thanks, Billy. We'll return in a moment with more of your calls in the Free Speech Zone.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a Baba Ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. to perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal. Choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Hey, what's so funny, huh? This is the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speed zone. There's room for your call right now, 831-899-5792, if you're on the sunny Central Coast today. Or you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540, especially if you're enjoying the shade of the old-growth redwoods. And let's go to Eureka. Lisa's on the line. Lisa, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. How's it going there, Peter?
Not too bad. We're trying to solve the problems of the world, and, well, we're talking about it anyway.
Well, that's actually the first step in it.
Yes,
it is. Getting the word out.
Yep.
Getting people talking. And I agree with the gentleman that called just before me or just before your break. You know, there is no outrage, and that's a good portion of the problem. Back in the 60s when things got off screwy, people protested. People stood up and pounded their hands against the walls and said, no more, we're not going to take this.
And what was the big difference? Because we had a corrupt Republican regime or administration. That is similar to today.
It's not impacting us.
But in my view, because we didn't have a draft, or we don't have a draft now,
exactly.
And because there's no real direct cost of this war for the average American,
exactly.
We're able to blithely go on with our lives, you know, and worry about sexual function drugs and, you know, who's got the best hair on television.
and all these stupid reality shows. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's it. Because we are not being impacted by what is going on. It has not hit us in our pocketbook, with the exception of gasoline prices, you know.
Well, the war tax we're paying is at the pump.
But people don't see that. I mean, I'm starting just now to see that other things are being affected by it. Other costs are going up. It's costing more to buy a week's worth of groceries. I'm just now seeing that.
Yeah. Well, what about, the cost of health insurance and health care has been going up 20% a year since Bush took office. The cost of a public higher education has gone up in most states as the majority of Republican governors have said no new taxes.
But how long did it take you to say that, and how long did it take you to say no new taxes? I mean, we've discussed this before. 30-second sound bites wins over a majority. When it takes you 20 minutes to explain something to people and why that 30-second sound bite's a lie, they don't want to hear it. They want to hear the 30-second sound bite.
Well, they also want to hear pandering to their self-interest because nobody, you know, whether you can say it in 20 seconds or 20 minutes, nobody wants to hear that you're going to raise their taxes and make them bear the true cost of the government spending of the day.
Well, and it's happening in other ways, like you said, the war tax on the gasoline.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, and people need to be outraged, and that's how you make change, is by outrage. And one of the ways you get people outraged is you talk about it. And that's why your show and shows like yours are so wonderful.
Well, Lisa, I have a pet theory I'd like you to react to. When I boil it all down, and you've listened to the program, and I hammer Democrats who aren't progressive enough. I talk about people who aren't participating and criticize their lack of involvement. But if I had to really pin it on one single factor, it would be market research. And the reason is that I believe both the people who run our television networks and the people who run our politics in this country are so well informed about the American people through polling and market research, focus groups, all that kind of stuff, that they're able to manipulate us in ways that really weren't possible 20 years ago. And so take, for example, the Drek reality shows on TV.
Why is that stuff there? Well, market research allows them to pick our brains and find out what it is that makes our skin crawl but makes us, you know, feel compelled to watch whatever comes on.
The train wreck.
And so you get American Idol, where, you know, the major exchange there is Simon's put down of these schlubs who come on. And you have Fear Factor, where people eat worms and snakes and you know, do things that make your skin crawl.
Do you honestly think that the average intelligent, you know, American really is going to sit back and take all this? I mean, I'm guilty of complicity myself. There are times when I just throw up my hands and say, I don't want to do this anymore. It is
say,
exhausting.
Daddy, let my mind roll on.
But it, the whole thing is it's exhausting. It is so exhausting. And it used to be we were preaching to 60, 70, 80% of the people. The nice thing is now we're just preaching to 20% or 28%. But it's still those are the 28% who get out there and vote.
Right.
So
all right, Lisa, well, thanks for posing the question. Let's get some other answers. Good to hear from you today. And I would like to hear your comments. Respond to what Lisa has to say. What is it that leaves so many Americans disengaged and not feeling any sense of connection or responsibility for what our government is doing in our name and to our children? I mean, the incredible waste of money in Iraq, now up to $8 billion a month, and the way that they have used deficit spending so that they could cut taxes and wage war at the same time. We really have mortgaged our future in a serious way, and most Americans are oblivious to it. So Danny Schechter, who has been a frequent guest on our program, has just debuted a new film about America's debt problem. And sometime in the next week or two, we'll get him on the show to talk about it. More calls now. Jake and Eureka, you're on the program. Good afternoon.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Not too bad. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. It's just great up here in Humboldt today.
I accidentally moved you to Eureka. You're from Arcata.
That's right, yeah. Just the other side of the bay.
Yeah.
You know, I got to respond to what the Supreme Court did today. You know, a lot of the reason I believe the American people are alienated from their own government is, first of all, these Republicans weren't even legitimately elected in the first place. That has become obvious to anybody who's looked into the voting irregularities throughout this country. And then you look at the Democratic Party, the so-called opposition party, which has been very anemic in how they've responded to the criminality displayed by the Bush-Cheney regime. Look at the Fourth Amendment and how little they've done to stand up for that. What happened to Russ Feingold's censure resolution? I mean, hell, you had a majority of Senate Democrats vote to confirm Michael Hayden to become head of the CIA. That's inexcusable, and we as Democrats need to hold our so-called leadership to account for selling our Bill of Rights down the river just so they can maybe, you know, attract a few swing voters in the fall. I don't think most Americans appreciate having a police state imposed upon them without their consent, Peter.
Well, I think so when they think about it. But there are too many people who have been lulled into complacency, or I don't know if they, you know, are drugged by that mesmerizing television set or exactly what. But, you know, where is the outrage? Why is it that this administration can put so many of these things over on us and people just say, huh, what was that?
Yeah, you know, I think what we really need is we need a organization to lobby for Fourth Amendment rights the way you have with the First Amendment, the ACLU, the Second Amendment, and the NRA. We need some strong third force in this country to advocate for our Fourth Amendment rights, because without Fourth Amendment rights, you know, we basically don't have a democracy anymore. And the thing is, if we're going to allow the government to simply wiretap whoever they want for whatever reason, break into our homes without warrants for whatever reason, you know, this country is no longer what it was. It is a sad day in America.
I think that's a powerful point, and there is the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which is at least working on the internet and, you know, communications issues related to the Fourth Amendment. But I agree with you that we could use a strong advocacy group that is focused exclusively on those issues. But, you know, Jake, one of the things that I think has kind of anesthetized the American people on these issues is the so-called war on drugs, which was used to justify draconian shifts in our criminal justice system, the use of minimum mandatory sentences, where the judge doesn't get to really rule from the bench on the merits of a case, but simply because the amount of cocaine that was involved was over a threshold, then this hapless, you know, woman who was the girlfriend of a dealer is going to get 20 years in jail because she answered the phone and said, "Yeah, Bubba's waiting for you over at the Quick Stop."
Mm-hmm.
And so people have become kind of inured to the wide range of injustices that are officially perpetrated by our government as it seeks to protect us in the so-called war on drugs. And that's just one example of the erosion of our rights that has been widely tolerated, if not actively approved, by way too many Americans.
That's right. And what you've seen is this burgeoning police state has been eased in over the course of a few decades with the consent of, you know, both political parties' leadership. I mean, look at the Clintons. They weren't friends of our Bill of Rights, you know, at all. And then now we're going to run Hillary for president? I don't think so. You know, we need somebody to run for office who's going to stand up for the people of this country, Peter.
Well, I sure agree with that, and that's why Feingold Obama is the best matchup for me at the moment. It's subject to change, but those are two people I would like to see, you know, move to the forefront, and I'd like to see progressive Democrats in particular lead that charge to push past the DLC and the Clinton types to say no, firmly no. It's time for different leadership, and it's time to break away from the failed policies of the so-called third way in the Democratic Party.
That's right. You know, those DLC Clintonites, frankly, they're just closet Republicans, and they should be exposed as such. It's time for the progressives to take over the Democratic Party.
Well, I'll give you a little homework, Jake. There's a new website for a new magazine called Democratic, I think it's thedemocraticstrategist.com. And they had a booth at this event in Washington last week, and I was curious. And what they describe is trying to unify the Democratic Party around certain principles. And when you look at who's involved and what they're proposing, this is a stalking horse for the DLC. And we put out the invitation. We hope to get one of their founders on the program soon, because I'd like to confirm my suspicion in that regard.
Well, I'll be looking forward to it, Peter.
Okay. We'll talk to you soon, Jake. Thanks for your call. More of your calls coming up. We got quite a few on the line, so we'll take a break and return. You can still join us, 831-899-5792 Central Coast, or toll-free 1-888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Hello, this is Al Moore with Moore Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by Moore Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to MooreImports.com. That's M-O-H-R Imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
KRXA 540 takes one more look in the rearview mirror. We check traffic with Metro Diane.
We have a stalled vehicle in Santa Cruz. It's southbound one at Morrissey Boulevard. Stalled vehicle actually blocking the left-hand lane, so it's going to cause a bit of a slowdown there. In Paja Road, northbound one at Salinas Road, we have a two-vehicle accident. Both vehicles have been able to be moved out of the roadway, so they're on the right-hand shoulder. Just waiting for CHP to arrive and take a report for that one. Checking Highway 17, both directions through the Santa Cruz Mountains, stalled and accident-free. This report is brought to you by Mattress Discounters. Now at Mattress Discounters, you'll pay no interest for up to 24 months on approved credit. Plus, save big on special purchase Steely and Simmons mattress sets. Mattress Discounters, have a good night's sleep for less. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you very much, Diane. You can take the rest of the day off.
Thank you.
All right. I hope you don't run into any traffic jams. Twelve minutes before the top of the hour, I'm Peter B. Collins. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. And we're taking your calls. There's a line open at 831-899-5792 or on the toll-free circuit, 888-579-2540. And up next, Frank in Marina. Thanks for holding, Frank. You're on the air.
Oh, my pleasure, Peter. Billy, if you're still there, listen to the show. I had a laugh this morning with Casey and Hal. You were talking about your Vietnam days to Millie, and it was quite a laugh. Anyway.
You know, I came in on the tail end of that, Frank, and I think they were comparing numbers from the draft lottery. And, you know, that was one of the luckiest times of my life. I was number four in the 1972 Selective Service Lottery in this country.
Wow. Well, anyway, if you didn't hear the whole thing, Peter, Billy was explaining how he was down there at the recruiting station, and there they give you the, I don't know what they call them then, the ASVAB test, like sort of like IQ test to mm-hmm. see where you would fit in for a military occupation. And as he was taking a test, he was whistling, and the sergeant down there, the cadre, said, hey, sir, would you mind, would you stop whistling? You may be disturbing everybody else. So Billy turned around and asked all the other inductees or whatever, am I bothering anybody with my whistling? And no one said anything, so he continued whistling. But he'll tell you about it another time. But,
all right, I'll get him to do that.
Yeah.
What's on your mind right now, Frank?
Well, your last caller was brilliant, and the one before that. And I want to say that people have to stop watching the major news media all the time, especially the Fox stations. I have people, hey, did you hear, even some of the progressive talk shows, they'll quote O'Reilly. O'Reilly said this. Hannity said this. These are nobody, Peter. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
People on, you know, progressives should know that. I talked to my cousin back East Saturday, and she said, what do you think about some? I says, first of all, I don't watch Fox. I wouldn't lower myself to their standards. And CNN is not too much better. There's so much reading material out there, books, the Internet. If you don't have a computer, that's fine. There's magazines. There's progressive magazines. There's TV. I tell everybody, Peter, and this is not a sales pitch, but get the Dish Network, mm-hmm. not DirecTV, because that's Rupert Murdoch, the world's number one prostitute, in my opinion. But get the Dish Network.
And Dish has free speech TV.
You have free speech TV.
Right.
Which the price alone, whatever you pay, is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Link TV up in your area, San Rafael.
Right.
And you have also another splendid station, educational, UCTV, University of California Television. They have mm-hmm. lectures from all the companies in our state.
Yeah.
And those three stations, Peter.
Well, and don't forget C-SPAN.
And C-SPAN. Yeah, I have C-SPAN.
Yeah, C-SPAN is a direct way to monitor your government in action.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, with this information out there, there's no reason why anybody should be ignorant of the facts. But
well, I really agree with you, and I believe that, for example, in 2004, sure, the Swift boat ads were on TV, but the truth about John Kerry, with his flaws, and the truth about George W. Bush, with his significant flaws,
It was all out there. But people managed somehow to make the wrong choices in far too many cases. Frank, I got to jump to some other calls because the board's full, but thanks for joining me this afternoon.
My pleasure.
Marianne and Eureka, you're next. Thanks for holding.
Yes, hello, Peter B. It's always good stuff on your program, so I'll be quick with my comment. You know, they're talking about these troop withdrawals, and I don't see how that can ever happen totally, because we are unable to negotiate peace. This is not like Vietnam, where we knew our adversary. That was Hanoi. That was our enemy. And finally, we sat down at and had peace negotiations in Paris. But we don't know. We don't have the phone number.
But there was a whole lot of duplicity going on there. Now, to your point about peace talks, I read, and gosh, I can't cite exactly where it was right now, but on a website yesterday or today, that Tom Hayden, who was recently on our program, has initiated some talks with Iraqi groups in both Iraq and in London. And he, I believe, you know, is trying to lay the groundwork for the eventual kinds of peace talks that you're referring to.
Really?
Yeah, so there are principled people there who recognize where we are in this process.
But does he mean he's going to talk to the enemy, or are they talking just to our own side there? I don't see the difference.
Well, I'm not clear on that,
but
so I don't want to misspeak.
Yeah, because that's interesting what they're going to do in the Senate tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what did you think of Senator Feinstein's comments that I quoted earlier?
Well, I don't know if I heard it in full, but
okay.
I just don't believe it.
She cites that there are 260,000 Iraqi military and police personnel, and that is the most optimistic number I have seen. For example, in the New York Times last Friday, they did a whole table of statistics related to Iraq, and they're claiming Iraqi police officers and soldiers in top two readiness. That's a military term, 60,000. And, you know, Dianne Feinstein says it's 260,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not really clear on her source there, but it doesn't seem accurate to me.
Yeah.
Marianne, thank you very much. Let's go to Susan now in Santa Cruz. Hello, Susan. You're on the air.
Thank you, as usual. I just want to say that I agree with Lisa that people are extremely exhausted from all of this. It's not just a physical exhaustion, it's all kinds of exhaustion. And it's really hard for a lot of people who are not listening to progressive stations and haven't been paying attention to really glean the truth. And I was thinking, when I checked out that interview with Aaron Russo online, he said that we shouldn't really be looking at politics anymore, at Republicans and Democrats and blah, 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 because that is, I think it is anyway, a huge distraction. And I think it's exactly what these guys who want to run everything want, just to keep us busy on the ground fighting each other. So there needs to be a way to unify, and I don't think it's the political process necessarily. Mm-hmm. I do think information is very, very necessary and vital right now. And I would like to see some publications begin that are willing to tell the truth. They don't have to even call themselves progressive. But like your station pretty much tells the truth, you know, and you get people on who do that.
Right.
I'd like to see that happen on a larger scale and to maybe get a hold of TV, a station.
Well, Susan,
on the TV,
I certainly applaud your aspirations, but we're not on Walden Pond here.
I know that.
And the Republicans, we have to be fair.
Uh-huh.
They have established what I call a wrecking crew in Washington, and they want us to disengage from the political process.
Well,
they want us to believe that Democrats are as corrupt as Republicans, and not all Democrats are squeaky clean, but they're far more corrupt Republicans than Democrats.
Yeah,
right now.
I don't mean it
but they
that
want,
way.
They
I
want
mean
to
that
mix us all up.
Fighting each other all the time, we'll never unite and take over the country again.
All right, but who are you going to unite with?
Well, we do have
the crony capitalists?
No. We the people down below here in the masses, not the evil empire.
Okay, but if we don't unite around a political process, then what do we have? Amway, you know, the American Friends Service Committee?
Oh, but maybe. I don't know. I'm looking at it. I don't know the solution. I'm just putting out what I'm seeing. You know,
all right. Well,
I don't
then, don't be put off. Don't be put off by my reaction. Keep coming at me, and
keep
thinking about it. All right.
Of course.
Thanks. Let me squeeze in one more call. Tim and Eureka, thanks for holding. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter. Unfortunately, corporate media is the only way most people get their news, and we have to get the progressive message on the corporate media legitimately. You know, get progressives on there talking when they're taken seriously.
Well, that's one of the things we're up to here, so I agree with that.
Yeah, and then, like the progressive view, like the Nation magazine and so forth, maybe get some of those people on where they're actually listened to and taken seriously. Then people will, you know, maybe listen to the progressive point of view.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do that every day, and we're outgunned by the right wing on radio alone by a factor of 40 to 1. No, wait, 14 to 1 is 42 to 3. So, yeah, 14 to 1 is the ratio.
We've got a lot of work. Yeah, it's got to get on the major news stations, unfortunately, ABC, NBC, CBS. We've got to get that, our view on those stations.
Yep, we got a lot of work to do, and we're going to keep on working at it. Thanks for your call today. Trigger's here, and I got to saddle up and ride off into the sunset. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same station, with another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for listening.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly,
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540.
Down in Monterey.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented him from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. An Iraqi group linked to al-Qaeda claims responsibility for the abduction of two American soldiers south of Baghdad and taunts the U.S. military for not being able to find them. But as CBS News correspondent Lee Cowan reports, it's not for lack of trying.
The search for these two missing soldiers is becoming increasingly large and increasingly violent. There are now some 8,000 U.S. and Iraqi troops that are involved in searching for these two U.S. servicemen. Seven of them so far since Friday have been wounded in fighting. They've gone through villages. They've detained people for questioning. There have been airstrikes.
The men have been missing since an ambush Friday in which a third soldier was killed. The Pentagon cast doubt on the claim from a group called the Shura Council of the Mujahideen, saying it's offered no evidence. The statement promises more details within the next few days. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports on a new case of U.S. soldiers in Iraq allegedly crossing the line from warfare to homicide.
The command in Baghdad has announced that three soldiers, actually one non-commissioned officer and two soldiers, have been charged with murder, attempted murder, conspiracy, communicating a threat, and obstructing justice in connection with the deaths of three prisoners last May.
The prisoners were taken during a raid on a suspected insurgent training camp. Military officials say the accused men threatened to kill a fellow soldier if he told the truth about what happened. If North Korea test fires a new missile, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice warns it would be considered a provocative act.
We will obviously consult on next steps, but I can assure everyone that it will be taken with utmost seriousness.
U.S. officials believe the missile, capable of carrying a nuclear warhead to the western United States, is fueled and ready for launch as early as Wednesday. After a bloody weekend in which a man was fatally stabbed and five teenagers were shot to death, Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco is sending state police and National Guard troops into New Orleans, and she's calling on everyone to work together to fight crime.
To parents, keep your teenagers off the streets and out of trouble. Second, to judges, I'm urging you to keep hardened criminals where they belong, in jail and off the streets.
Mayor Ray Nagin says the troops will protect property in hurricane-damaged neighborhoods while local police concentrate on the crime problem. Pasadena, Texas. Sounds like a stampede.